So I-70 West. Yes.
I-70 West all the way out. It's maybe like, I think it's like 11 miles or something like that. But it's Chief Hossa is the name of the exit. Chief Hossa Drive.
H-O-S-A.
Let me Google map it here. You know what? Let me put it on here so I can see it.
Give me the address and I'm going to put it on.
Well, yeah, that's the deal right there. And if I can Google map it, to do it.
Oh, you have GPS, excuse me.
Okay, 825 Neville Lane. N-E-V-I-L-L-E.
825 Neville
Lane. And it's golden. It's 80401. N-E-V-I-L-L-E. Lane. 80401. So it is... It's exit... It's spaghetti getting back up to the house.
Is it considered golden?
It is considered golden, yep. Yeah, it's a little bit of spaghetti getting back to the house. Let me see if I can figure this out here.
It wasn't too bad. It was like a right turn and left turn.
253, is that right? Exit 253? Moss. Rancho.
Chief Hossa.
What phone is that?
Chief Hossa.
Chief Hossa. Yeah, Chief Hossa. You're going to go left on Chief Hossa. So you get off 70. You'll go back over the overpass. It's the first right, which I believe is Meadowlark Drive. For some reason, I'm not seeing Chief Hossa on here at all.
First right onto Meadowlark?
And watch for the deer.
I believe it's watch for the elk. Drive slow.
Yeah.
I believe that is it, but I'm going to try to find it to verify that. Did anybody Google map it yet? Why didn't I do that?
Oh, I didn't Google Navigate.
Yeah, I got on here, but I can't...
Google Navigate.
I can't find Chief Hossa Drive for some reason.
12.8 miles.
Just do MapQuest. Just do direct directions right to...
What was the address again? 825 now?
825 now. <laughs> 804-041 won't work.
Oops. For some reason, my iPhone's not showing me Chief Hossa Drive, which is a challenge.
It is Meadowlark.
Is it?
Yeah, it's right there on the screen.
Yeah, the only thing I'm not certain about is if that's the first street you turn on. I think there might be another street there.
There's Spring
two
Ranch Drive. I should say it comes first, but... yeah, it looks like you take Spring Ranch and then turn right on Meadowlark and then... It's almost a street, but...
Yes.
And then right on Neville.
So off the exit, what is your place?
Turn left.
Off the exit, you'll take a left, yeah.
Onto Genesee Drive.
Yep, there you go. There you go.
This is off of Chief Hossa Drive?
The exit's Chief Hossa.
Right.
But I'm not seeing Chief Hossa Drive. That's here's what it is. So you're going this way on 70. Yep.
Exit what now?
It looks like it's exit 253. Yeah.
Left on Genesee.
Yep, left on Genesee. Immediate right on Spring Ranch.
Right on...
Then a right on New Meadowlark. There you go. Okay, I got you now.
Genesee, Spring Ranch.
Yeah, exactly. So you're going west, take a left, and then the first right is Spring Ranch. That'll take you to the next first right, which is Meadowlark, and it's way back up in here.
Okay. Thank you. Scroll it back up if you could.
I got it if you need it. It's I-70 West to exit 253.
Yep. Left.
Make a left onto Genesee.
First right.
And then a...
First right on Spring Ranch, first right on Meadowlark.
Yep. Yeah, right onto Spring Ranch.
And then another right on Neville, but... You will actually have to take a right there, too, by the way. So it's right, right, right. Off the highway, left. First right, first right, first right. I think that's the one.
What time should we find out?
Let me look at that again. I would think 8. So why don't we, conglomerate in the lobby around 7:30-ish and head on out there 7:45, 7:50, something like that.
Here. This one? This is everything.
So that'll get us there. Getting back, I have no clue, but that'll get us there.
Follow it in reverse,
yeah, exactly.
We hope.
Go through like a...
How long a ride is it, Toby?
From here, it's about maybe 15 minutes. But seriously, if it's dark out there, like seriously, like when you get off the highway, go slow around there because it's... I mean, it was like 30 elk, like right waiting to cross the road.
Really?
It was crazy.
That'd be cool.
Here's 3D mail results. What I would do is, I mean, this is useful, but these guys do like all the kitschy stuff that... if you request my free gift guide right here, they'll give you basically... Not that big. If you just click this Get My Free Guest Gift Guide and you fill out the little form, you know, you'll be on their email list. But if you look at the, they're like, it's called the Sweet 16. They have 16 promotional products that they use a lot. But the only reason that's really a value for like martial arts school owner and stuff is they'll give you a little sales letter that starts with each one of these things. You know what I mean? So like they have like the, it's just good to get ideas, you know what I mean? So they give you like a page or a page and a half of a sales letter for like, the trash can, or for the treasure chest, or the little round to it. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. I like the boomerang.
Yeah, the boomerang's good.
We want you back. Yeah, that's exactly. Awesome.
Yeah, they actually have a three-piece lost customer. This one right here. They've got the bug mailer, the compass, and the boomerang, which basically is the boomerang's the first step. We want you back. The compass is the second step. Are you lost? You know, here's the compass to find your way back. And the bug is the third step. You know, so last time we went to bug you. That whole thing, right?
Which is a total lie.
It's clever. And it's cheap. Well, that's right, but I mean, you know.
That's cool, though.
But it's clever, and it gives you, and they give you a little, you know, little starts for all the sales letters. And, you know, it's all real congruent stuff with what we do. I mean, the round two, it's like, I don't know, 8 cents a piece or 18 cents a piece or something like that. And
I think I got a
little Zoom cars. Yeah, we've sent them out a couple times, but probably not to you guys. Trash cans. These are crazy, man. These are astronomically less expensive than they used to be. These used to be $4 into the mail. Now we're getting them into the mail for like $1.14. You know? What's that?
They're out of them.
Are they? I've got 5,000 of them sitting
there. And what do you do with those, Toby?
Sitting in the warehouse up there.
Don't throw away this opportunity.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I've sent you 4 letters before. Obviously, you haven't responded yet, so you've thrown them all away. I thought I'd save you the trouble this time. Here's a trash can. Don't throw away this opportunity, all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's real clever stuff.
Well, I still got the brain thing.
The sticky brain? Yeah, those are cool, right? Those are cool, right?
My son loves that
expand
thing.
Expand your mind. So I put it on my wife's desk. Anytime you want to, press it.
That's cool, isn't it?
She uses it all the time.
My son loves that thing, man. He plays with it constantly.
Horrible. Yeah. But yeah, there's some real clever stuff, and it's a good resource that, you know, it gives you the start of a little sales letter and stuff. So it's good.
What's the name of that site?
3dmailresults.com. 3dmailresults.com. They do a lot of stuff with Kenny Glazier and stuff, so you know they're kind of they do the kind of marketing that, like, you know, works.
Nice car, Toby.
I love that thing. The new version.
Do you have one?
The white
yet?
One. No, I need to get one.
No, I need to get one.
I got that bike and I kind of regret it, but I don't regret it yet. Okay, so we got a little time to kick some stuff around for about an hour and a half here. What's hot on the agenda, you guys think?
Well, you guys have seen what I'm doing for off-the-wall marketing stuff. I'd like some input on what some of you guys are doing for, you know, obscure marketing things like what I brought today.
Yeah, what's working real well? And I'll tell you my opinion, and it's what the results are right now, is that we're focusing, like I said, we talked about this, you know, yesterday morning or whatever, but we've moved almost all the revenue from cold marketing into extended follow-up for warm leads, you know? So we're doing a lot of direct mail, but most of it is to the people in the warm lead list already, you know? So they've come to a birthday party or whatever. We're beating them over the head more than we were before with bigger, more elaborate packages rather than, like, the postcard drops in the mail. This one was the best puller last year. This one outpulled all the rest of them by a good bit.
When did you send it out?
Hmm?
What time of year did you send it out?
I don't remember.
Was it around?
This was either early last year or it was late the year before. I can't remember which. But this was the winner of the test for a bunch of months, and you know, we were just watching the results kind of decline. But you know, we're not really going to the cold market. You know, mostly all of these. You know, now we're going like straight to the warm lead list, which means we have to generate a lot more warm leads. You know, we have to be out in the community doing more stuff and all that sort of thing. So, but that's what I'm saying. You know, that's what the cold market right now is difficult to. We're having a difficult time penetrating the cold market with postcards and less elaborate direct mail campaigns. To be honest, we haven't gotten a lot of the franchisees to, like, you know, go do the big elaborate mail packages yet. You know, because that's like kind of like pushing rope. You know, but that's where we're at on that. What about anybody else?
On the Get Members Colby kitchen stuff. Card, you know, we've done those for years. Mm-hmm. Like the back to school, we always got we did two mailings 2 weeks apart. We always get between 3 to 6 students. Not great, but not bad. This year we didn't get one. I think we have 2 calls in the next year.
Yeah.
I laughed because I did the same thing. I got one and it was so weak, it was ridiculous. They went away.
So that's what I needed.
Yeah, that's why we pulled all of our advertising. Yeah, we did the same thing and got nothing. So
we're still doing good though, with our marriage mail stuff.
Well,
marriage
and see, I was a big advocate. I was a big advocate of Valpak, yeah. And it dried up completely.
I took mine out of Valpak and went to Reach Magazine now. So I'm like continuously moving it around in different areas.
We don't have that by us. We have Valpak by
us. Marriage mail's like Valpak for those. They put everything together and it's just a coupon book or it's a coupon package and. They call it marriage mail because of...
Yeah, you know what? I went in my lobby one night from a packed class with so many parents out there. It was ridiculous. I had Valpak in my hand. I said, who actually opens this up? And there were two women that opened it up, and they said, all we do is leaf through it and find something that we normally use.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
To get, right? Then I took Money Mailer out. Yeah. And more people actually looked through that, which was kind of strange in that time. And then we have 2 coupon magazines in our area. Most people just don't,
Yep. Yeah, we're running the same thing. And the only reason my wife uses them is the dog food place we buy dog food from has a coupon in it every month. Yeah. So, you know, she yanks it.
Well, not to derail anything, Jonathan, but you know, Warren Buffett, when he was on The Billionaire Show the other day, right? I'm a big fan. I mean, he's hysterical. I think he's funnier than hell. I don't know why, but I get a kick out of him. But... he was talking about, you know, he's got all these businesses, you know, and for Berkshire Hathaway, and he watches the market within what businesses are doing what, right? So right now he said the jewelry stores are kind of tanking, but, you know, like See's Candy wasn't doing real well, right, because it's kind of a premium price, kind of a luxury good type thing, right? But he owns some company, I can't remember what it was. Geico's doing great. That's exactly right. Because that was sort of like, he's like, well, you know, the marketing hasn't changed much. You know, we're still marketing it as the lower cost alternative, save $500 a year on Geico. He's like, that thing's blowing up. It's going gangbusters. So probably, let's make an assumption of what you're seeing is that the market is shifting from, you know, this type of a traditional direct mail over to marriage stuff because they're looking for a deal, you know. Maybe that's not a bad thing. I mean, in good economies, like the Penny Saver sucks because it's all the bargain shoppers, right? But now, you know, who knows who's going to do that net now, right?
Yeah, I've certainly scaled back on it, but I'm still seeing a result enough to keep stay in there. Yeah. I mean, all of them. Now I'm in like 2 of them.
Yeah, we haven't seen anything. I've actually pulled all of that. We haven't gotten a single hit. Running ads that we've been running in the past that we're pulling, you know, tremendously.
Definitely the message needs to change, right? So, I think if you ignore reality, they'll penalize you for it. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't identify what they're thinking, you know, I think they'll make you suffer for it. So, I mean, I like a lot of Eric's stuff that was talking about, since the economy's bad, you're stressed out, and it's a stress relief and that sort of stuff.
There's like 0 leads.
Really? You know, you'd think it makes sense, you know? I'm not sure how to make that connection exactly.
We're doing better with our more standard ads than...
Really? Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Right. Yeah. I think so. And that's the thing, too. You don't know until you know, right?
Well, the only thing I can surmise is that after it didn't work for a month and a half, we stopped it. That was really the kind of crisis month and a half.
Sure.
It's hard to know.
Sure. Okay. And if you've been watching, I mean, there's been some glimmers of hope in the news the last few days.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, you know, it seems like maybe people are shaking it off a little bit, but you know what really it is, and Buffett talked about this, he's like, you know, people have, you know, Americans have a relatively short attention span, and they'll get sick of hearing all this stuff within a few more months, and they'll just tune it out, you know, and they'll move on to whatever's next, you know, whatever they
have.
Do
anyone hear about that?
Yeah. We are?
Yeah.
We got troops somewhere in China? You're kidding.
I just had my February, March regular newspaper ads are working again. Or responding.
It's interesting. So display ads in the newspaper. It's interesting.
Did anybody do billboard?
We've thought about it.
We did it once, but
I've done a little sit-down bench billboard. I haven't done that in a long time, but yeah, I did that. That's why I met my wife. That's how my wife came to my school. That's right. That best $80 I ever spent.
You broke the golden rule too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
We did billboard one time to do it for an event, for a big event. This was like $5,000, and we did it for 2 months. It was like $3,900 plus some setup fee or whatever. We did it just to promote a big event. And for 2 months, we had people that said, "Oh, we saw your billboard," but I don't know if that's what made them come in or not. How do you measure that?
Did you punch something into my homeschool website on the form?
Yeah.
Okay.
The form failed.
Really? Because I got an email from you.
It routed me right back to the homepage again. You might want to check it.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I no experience other than doing it for an event.
How do you guys promote event-based marketing? I mean, you do flyers around town, and do you find the print media works well for that? I don't know, if you have an event, if you have like anti-bullying,
press releases are best for those. You get free.
Yeah, we do press releases.
I agree.
Virtually no response from it.
Really?
It's hard to get.
The last three of those classes I did with the press releases I wrote, we got space in the local papers and the local, there's like a town magazine that comes out.
If you put it with something that's already happening in your community, like you're doing a bully buster thing and it follows, like in our town, they have this kid that was actually robbing kids at the bus stop for their shoes and stuff.
Nice.
And so if you put that right after that thing came out.
Welcome to Indianapolis, man.
Yeah, this guy's like a 17-year-old kid going around all the bus stops and robbing people for their shoes and their cell phones and stuff. And I'm like, man. That's ridiculous that they're even promoting that, because now there's another 17-year-old kid thinking, hey, that's a good idea. Anyway, if you did
it was
that.
A good offline business for me. I made about $50.
But you know the big. You may have heard the story from I think Yannick, but maybe Dan. But in the burglar alarm sales business, they would hire off-duty cops to go park their cars in the neighborhood that they'd be prospecting over the next few weeks, so that like people are walking around going, "Oh my God, what happened? The cop car's over there, right?" And they'd hire like vagrants to go put like empty beer bottles on their doorsteps and crumple up paper bags and throw them around, right? And this is all like the week before the door-to-door burglar alarm salesman is going to be in the neighborhood. Right? Right? So kind of like prepping the market,
That's brilliant.
You know? Same kind of deal,
The Korean soldiers did that back in the 70s.
Muggings.
Like staged some mugging or something like that, and had a real lady, and he was walking with her, and this guy jumped out, and he like kicks at the guy that took a picture of her going...
Oh,
it
right.
was a real picture, and it like generated all kinds of business for this guy. I forgot who it was. But yeah, same kind of thing, manufacturing your own press. But
yeah. Yikes.
Yeah, so how do you guys market events?
That's how I do it.
Can you send me a copy of your press release? Well, I mean,
My answer to that, Jonathan, is mostly we don't go much to the cold market with that stuff. Mostly it's the warm market. So mostly it's the referral market, but also the guys that the students reach, and a lot of the B2B stuff too, by the way.
Yeah, we'll also put signs in every local business in town for it.
Yeah. All the business to business partners, yeah.
I don't know. That's jump short. How long are we going here?
Well, we've got about, Terry will be here in about an hour, 15 or 20 or so.
I mean, how long are we going?
Did we
have him come in. Have him come over. Yeah.
But we're going to be until what time?
Five-ish. 4:35. Yeah. What was the question? Charles did. Yeah, he did yesterday. I think.
I thought we started with Eric.
Well, we better get him.
I don't know. I thought we started with you.
You might be right. You might be right.
Hang on, I'll tell you in a minute because I wrote it down. Yeah, we did. We started with Eric. So no, Charles didn't get to go.
We better. We'll lock him out. Yeah, but I mean, my answer is that. My answer is mostly we go to mostly we go to the one.
Ron Kovar.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
Where is this?
I'll have to go back and find mine and see if you've misspelled the name.
Poor Toby.
What's worse is like some of the stuff I catch. You know, it's like we had. I don't even know how to do it. Anyway.
You didn't see the Toby Maguire thing on yours? I don't know. They got US Toby Maguire in here.
Could be.
Spider-Man.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Spider-Man 4.
It's basically it's a 60,000 words. Every 2 weeks, right? And you know, it's a long story. We have three people that proof it, right? Plus the editor and the art guy. But you know, the stuff that gets through it would amaze you, and the stuff that doesn't get through would amaze you too. You know what I mean? You know.
Oh yeah, I make those kind of typos all the time. My wife says, "Why don't you get me to proofread it?" Well, because usually I'm typing it up at 3:00 in the morning. It has to go up by 3:30 in the morning.
I wake my wife up. She was an editor when she was in. She worked for Boston University. It's what she did. So it's like, here, look at this, and she circles stuff.
Up to edit stuff.
Hell yeah!
3:00 in the morning.
Why not?
How's that going?
If it has to go out by 3:30,
he's got a big dog house.
Hey, we're cool, man. My couch is comfortable.
So while we're waiting on Charles, what's next? Robert also had this.
Yeah, I just left it for everybody to look at.
It was one of the samples that we did.
Anybody's got ideas? I mean, obviously, your coupon border thing from before.
Yeah, there's. Again, most of this stuff is double function.
I have never had one of this stuff.
Oh, but definitely make sure you check that next Maximum Impact kit, because I've got all those a bunch of crazy holidays listed for the next couple of months.
That's the last one.
And there's like, was it?
It's the one you just got.
You got it already?
Yeah,
I didn't know you got it already. Yeah, because there's three or four directly related to the school district stuff. Principal Day, Teacher Appreciation Day, and Week, and something like that. There's a couple of things, too. So that's really useful stuff.
It's been good to get groups in, and it's 5 weeks for $55. And you know, the proceeds are donated to the soccer team, to the private school, or to the blah blah blah. We're doing a 3-3-3 now, one for the not for profits, I guess, in the schools. We also do Chambra, which is that, you know, sort of kind of event.
We do it too. It's awesome.
You know what's a good event? Here's two good public events. One, we do Chambra in the park. You get lots of questions.
Yeah.
And then two is...
What is Chambra?
Chambra
padded
is kind of
sword fighting
stuff that the Abbot promotes.
Is that the like the padded escrimus sticks or the padded sword?
The action flex stuff.
I didn't know that's what they called it.
Action
we called it padded sword.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did a tournament for it.
Yeah, I have a regular program.
Kids love it.
Oh.
Kids love it. It's a blast.
We did the shield, so they did gladiator style.
Nice. 300-ish, you know.
And we scored points and, you know, double elimination tournament.
Nice.
But we practiced for like 6 weeks and going through strikes and blocks and everything, so they had a blast.
Here's another one that's fun, if you're a little nuts, which I am.
Got that on tape, right, Toby?
Yeah. Do a child abduction seminar in the parking lot.
Goes out randomly.
We're stopping kids in with a trunk.
Oh my God,
it's so much fun. You teach the kids to kick the hood down, you know, kick the trunk closed, and, you know, to brace their feet on the edges of the door and kick the door closed. And, you know, if you want to be safe, you know, if that's your thing.
Can you build one of those
for
us? You can
put pipe insulation. Oh, you get the hugest crowd, because, you know.
Well, they think it's real.
Well, I mean, they would, except you got 20 moms sitting around laughing their heads off.
They'd be calling the police over there.
But that'd be fun, too. I mean, that'd be great.
What car do you use?
I usually have used my car because I drive old junkers, but now I have a new car, so I'm kind of debating this.
Gonna have to rental car. Get a rental car.
Yeah.
You know, one of the first things we teach for abduction is that if they actually get in the car, to grab the metal part of the seatbelt and break the windows.
That's good.
And that'll draw attention. So that's a good idea. I don't want to put my kids in any car of mine, that's for sure.
And you play car tag? You know what car tag is? Car tag is where you have the abductor, you know, role play guy, chasing the kid around the car. So the kid's on the other side of the car, banging, and the car screaming, and the kid's car in between. And, you know, you do through these drills, you obviously have to post the lookouts to make sure no one gets run over.
They've only lost three kids.
That's all.
This year.
In 18 years, it's not bad.
Yeah. Two got locked in the trunk. And
hey, you know, this is a good idea, especially where I am.
I agree.
We do an annual.
I mean, we're all laughing, but it is a good idea.
We do an annual photo, and we stop traffic. We just get everybody out front, you know, doing stances and stuff, or, you know, in front of the school, and the traffic stops in front. I had people. What's that?
Well, the way old school deal on that, old school, I don't know how, right? 35, right? But Grandmaster Soon-Ho Lee, who runs ETA now, right? He's a Grandmaster ETA. He used to have all the instructors out on Valentine's Day, handing out roses at the intersections, right? And then he figured out, like, to put, like, a little pass on it, you know, hand out roses, because you're stopping traffic, right? You're just handing out roses. So then they started doing it, like, just all the time. They get people.
Handing out roses.
Yeah. Just flowers or carnations or whatever. And, yeah, little, like,
they think they're movies.
Little, what do you call it?
They think they're movies. They used to sell their flowers.
Well, you know, the University of Bridgeport in Connecticut has a certified BA in martial arts instruction.
Yes. Where at?
Bridgeport.
University of Bridgeport in Connecticut.
Okay.
And it's run by Moonies. I mean, they're literally a son of the moon.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So. I've been really looking forward to having that kind of program, but I just really can't recommend any of my students to go. The University of Bridgeport's almost lost its accreditation like 9 times in the last 20 years because it's so terrible
Well, they're probably, if they have the Moonies in there teaching something, they're probably getting some funding off of that.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some
funding.
Master Gene Reeves part of that, wasn't he?
He was. Boy, did it cost our schools, too.
Yeah.
And if it wouldn't have been for me, you know, I was the only one that would, like, when it came to anything, I was never a yes man with him. It was like, no, we're not doing that. That's not going in the school. You're not doing that.
Well, weren't you the one that kind of corralled him on, like, all the rank exams and stuff like that, too?
He used to do all the tests.
Yeah.
I mean, actually give the test, and I finally talked him into letting the instructors do the testing, and then he does the graduation ceremony. Because we would have parents
everybody?
That would...
Fail
50%.
In addition to...
Worse than that, he would take... And if a kid had long hair, he would say to him, are you a boy or are you a girl? And he goes, I'm not going to pass you until you get a haircut. You know, stuff like that that parents aren't... You know, there's some parents that would be going, yeah, way to go. And others would be going, you know, the parent comes out with the long hair too. So, I mean, all kinds of... And then he would... A kid would do a sidekick wrong or something, and so he would get up there and he would correct them. And he'd have them put their toes down.
Let me get my chair off of it.
And then he would say, well, he would ask the kid,
it's not my air tube.
Hasn't your instructor taught you that or showed you that? And he'd go, no. And then he'd turn to the instructor, you see, that's why they're not getting
it. Yeah, but that sounds like old school. That sounds like all my old instructors.
Kind of like building up the credibility of the instructor, you know?
Toby, you got to find out where to get these from me. This is really cool.
Yeah.
Why aren't you?
The more I look at this, the cooler I think it is.
Lazy.
I'm just thinking a sales letter. I mean, not even a follow up on anything, just a regular sales letter of we're waiting for your call.
I'm not sure what they'd mail for, probably.
Go phone this stuff cheap enough. You send them a real phone.
Yeah. It's
got like 10 minutes on there and they really haven't called yet, you know. Yeah.
Something
like that,
yeah.
How much
is it?
They have those little Go phones for. They're like right $39, but I'm sure they probably get like a $15 version coming.
Or if you bought them in quantities.
Yeah.
John, how
about those? Hit function F4.
That's not a bad idea. That might be dead with some of my hot leads.
So,
there you go. So this is the
marketing plan for the year.
A I don't know why it zooms it in.
Can you go on a full screen?
Meaning
up at the top. See the top by the X?
Yeah, yeah, it's right there.
That will
it's already there. Yeah.
You can go to view full screen or something.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not sure what we can
there
zoom.
It is. No, go to the right. It says 100%. Go 150%.
And then we'll go smaller.
We'll see.
It'll be over here where it says full screen with that view. Gets rid of some of the
menus.
There you go. Looks better.
And then we'll probably zoom out a little bit. And there's a slide bar in the zoom.
I don't see it. That's what...
That's right.
That was the original.
I don't have that in Excel. I know they have it in Word.
Yeah, all the suite does except for Publisher. How do I close the full screen?
Hit the restore
button. By the X. Go to the right. Far right. There you go. Custom views.
There it is.
Yeah, close enough.
Here's one more reason I have a lot of staff.
Did you print that, or did you just put it on the slide?
I didn't print it. I wasn't going to share it, but we just have some titters. Put it up there.
What happened to Charlie?
AMA Carnival.
He snuck out.
They grabbed him on that. Yeah. He's trying to fight his way through this legislation thing. We need to get him.
I feel bad.
Dude, Jonathan, why don't you walk us through this real quick, and I'll go chat with him and see what we can get.
Okay.
Do we need to go a little bigger to read it, though? Are your eyes better than mine?
Well, let's see what happens.
I can't see it either. Don't worry about that.
Let's see if we can get going here.
If I go back to that full screen view now.
Yeah.
Is that better? Not really, huh?
Yeah, no, it is.
Yeah, that's good.
Master Smith, is that okay?
Can you guys read it? I've got these glasses on.
Can you
switch places?
Yeah, that's okay.
Here, I'll just... I can zoom it in a little better, I think. I can get this damn thing to close. It's really strange. Anyway, I'll go ahead.
Yeah, that's fine.
So what this is the marketing activity, the new student goal, how many intros it actually generated. Yeah, skip down here to April. So what we're doing in April is we're Kempo School, so we have the five animals part of our system, and so we have each week for 5 weeks in April we're doing a different animal, and we're going to be building up towards a dragon, which is like the which is the peak one. So we have Big Buddy Day, so over 5 weeks we'll work up to that, and we'll maybe get some Rattle and Novelty things.
And did they come on Buddy Day? Did they come to the kids' regular class, or do you have a special buddy class that they all come?
We'll have a special buddy class on Saturday for them to come to, but we'll also have guests. You know, we'll also hand out gift stuff. You don't have to wait. We have a half day camp, so
Administrative Professionals Day. Yeah, what are you doing with that?
What we do is we have all the kids fill out cards for the school secretaries,
yeah.
And I go to Costco and I buy two dozen roses, and I split them up because it's a lot of money I spend on each school. But
carnations.
Yeah, well, roses are nice for. So.
And if it's off Valentine's season, they're not that bad.
I usually use tulips. You can usually get them cheap this time of year.
Yeah. But isn't that what they use for funerals?
And then I have an internet safety seminar. We started a fitness program. In May, we do Mom's Train Free for Mother's Day and the spring sports parties. Armed Forces event and Memorial Day parade. Well, this was a home run event. You invite to honor like the vets and the armed services. We invited in the different branches of the service, the local recruiter, you know, the VFW, and they all come in, and we had a little panel with like, you know, 8 or 10 of these guys, you know, National Guard, whatever. And they came in and they talked about like some kind of character thing, you know, like honor or integrity or whatever. And then, you know, these guys are looking for a chance to talk to young kids because, you know, that's what they do. And we did for Vets Day in November, and it was a fabulous event. It was really moving. It was inspiring. We got this nutsy, you know, sergeant major there who, like, gave us special forces certificates for the kids if they had done, like, you know, their respect assignment. So it was an awesome hookup, and it was a lot of fun, and it was really a great event. I definitely recommend that one. 555 fundraiser, we were talking about women's self-defense class.
Did
with
you
that.
Try that in to try to get new students, or was that just retention?
We did invite people in. It was primarily a retention event and an upgrade event. We use it for leadership.
Could I stop you for a second?
Absolutely.
Your end of spring sports parties.
Yeah.
You contact just the coaches?
Yeah, I mean, if we have kids, say, hey, we'd like to have a party with your kid, mm-hmm. the rest of your team, you know, ask the coach if it's okay. It's not really have to ask the coach if it's okay now that I think about it. They just do it themselves. But.
So I was thinking that, I mean, that's an excellent idea. Talk about filling up your Saturday, that you could just contact the rec council.
Yeah.
I think the way to do that, and that way you have an in, is if you approach all your students, because, look, they all do the every sports, right? I mean, all these sports. We tell them, look, let me know when you'd like to schedule your team pizza party at the karate school. Kind of like how we do the birthday parties. And let them invite all their team members. And you give them a free pizza party.
Mm-hmm.
At the karate school.
Well, I was thinking that, you know, you do that in the spring sports, and then you can just contact the rec council and say, this is what we do, and then you can also tie it into the 5x5 thing.
Yeah.
Sports thing is good too, yeah.
Here's a Chamber in the Park in the early release. And so what you do is you have teams. So like you have a team of 4 of your students, but they can add as many friends as they want to their team who aren't students. And then you have like field battles. So, like, if they bring 8 friends, or team's 12, they're going to kick butt. You know, if they have, if it's just the 4 of them, well, they better be darn good. So, you're allowed to bring in merch, essentially. School programs, teacher appreciation day. I like what you guys do. It's better than what we do. So, I'm going to just do that. June, we have dads trained for you. We have a summer safety seminar.
You talking about me? Don't you know what we were talking about before?
Yeah, yeah. Summer safety seminar, schools out parties, another 555 from, I like frisbee golf, it's my geeky sport.
Wait a minute, I missed what you...
You weren't here, were you?
No, what did you talk about?
Teacher appreciation. Toby has the file, ask okay. him to email it to you. But what we do is, we do teacher appreciation week, that first week of May.
Mm-hmm.
I have a letter that we give to the kids, like, mid-April.
He might have sent it to you already.
That they bring to all their teachers. And it tells them what days they take class. And it asks the teachers to come in for Teacher Appreciation Week and watch them take class. And then what we do is we have the kids, at the end of class, we bring the teachers out on the floor.
Thanks.
And we have the kids give them a certificate of appreciation signed by the kids. We have the kids sign it, and one of the instructors signs it. We give them a bouquet of flowers, and then we take a picture of the teacher and the child together. For the past few years, we've been putting it on the website so that we can get the teachers to come look at the website. But we're going to not only do that this year, but we're going to print the picture and drop it in their mailbox for them, too.
Right.
And then, you know, after they've been in the school, a couple weeks later, we put letters in their mailboxes at school for our school talks.
The good excuse for that, by the way, I was thinking about it, is you said if you're going to send them the photo, you can put the letter in with the photo.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we were thinking, too.
Here's another little tweak that's useful is what we do is we do a back-to-back classes, like one Friday then the next. One's for women's self-defense, it's just a regular women's self-defense class. And the next one's a family protection class. You don't always get moms to come in for the women's self-defense class, even though they should be. But then you do a family protection class, which is how to defend yourself when your kid's there. Because you can't just run and run, right? I mean, because your kid's there, right? You know, so, unless your kid's a better runner than you are.
Or unless you want to.
Yeah, well, that's true. So for the women's self-defense class, we take the kids to go see a movie. So what I usually do is I go onto, you know, that website that tells you when movies are coming out for, like, you know, the entire year, and I figure out when the big kids release is, and I put the women's self-defense class on that night. One of my instructors goes to see the movie with the kids, and then, you know, we try and convince the dads to go with us to help with the supervision. And then the moms train, and then the next week the kids come with the mom to do a family protection class. We did pretty well with that last year. I mean, school programs, teacher appreciation day, dads train free in June for Father's Day, Summer safety seminars. A lot of child abductions happen in the warmer weather when the kids are outside alone, out unsupervised. School's out parties. We have a sleepover.
What prize do you get? Bring a friend and earn a prize?
I don't know yet. We'll figure that out. It kind of depends what kind of kitschy stuff I can find between now and then. But sometimes we'll do something program related. Sometimes there'll be an irrelevant bonus.
Karate related or just toy related?
Yeah. It depends on what we
got. Boy toy, girl toy.
You know, so if I go get a whole bunch of frisbees, I like that idea for him on the lawns.
We go to the dollar store when we do this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tchotchkes go a long way.
What is
it? Tchotchkes. That's what they call a lot of crap. Miscellaneous crap in a bucket.
Oh. What about your summer camp sale? Final summer camp sale?
Oh, I like that, Jonathan. Make your own kung fu movie. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, now this is a cool event. It's a retention event. So you make your own kung fu movie, and you set up like four rehearsals and then a shooting, and you play at your open house at the end of the summer. And then the other one I've got going on this summer that's kind of fun is a demo war. So it's your students versus the demo team.
Yeah, we're doing...
So you got a bunch of students who volunteer to compete against the demo team, and they get three or four practices.
And next month we're doing a creative form seminar where we bring the kids in and let them work, make up their own forms. Same idea.
So
your summer camp pizza party? So every Friday?
Yeah, every Friday we do a pizza party. And honestly, the response to that's really been crappy, so we're figuring out how to tweak it to make it better.
What we do on our summer camp on Friday is a pool day. And the pool that we go to... They bus in all of these school summer programs from all other events, so it's like really crowded. It's a real large water park. And what we do is our camp starts at 9, but the pool doesn't open till 10. And so we, from 9 to 10, we train right there beside the entrance to the pool in the grass. That's and the smart. Kids are doing their weapons and everything. Well, by that time, all of the buses are loading, and they're all lined up waiting to go in, because since it doesn't open until 10, they start lining up about 9:15. And now there's a line of people. All of our kids are there practicing from the summer camp, doing their weapons and demonstrating forms and all kinds of stuff like that. And then we go by and hand them all a flyer. And they get to, on Fridays, they can bring a kid to the pool. We pay their way into the pool. And Friday is pool day, and we found that all the other days we had the camp and they could bring a friend, they never brought them. But on Friday, since it's pool day, they all come, because then we go from the pool from 10 to 1. They get to do all the water slide and all that kind of stuff.
That's really
fun. Then they give you group rates for the water slide stuff, so we actually get them in at like $8 a head. But we have, it's the biggest camp day. You know, our camp, usually we have about 20 in the camp, and then that day, it's not unusual to have 35, 40.
Very clever. I'm going to figure out how to do that in my camp.
Do they have a water park or a big pool?
They have a pool.
How far are you from what you call it?
But Six Flags?
No. What's the big water park in Connecticut?
Lake Compounds?
Yeah.
Well, I'm too far. I'm very close to Six Flags.
Okay. Because we didn't want to have to bus them over or drive them over. So we just tell the parents ahead of time on Friday, instead of dropping the kids at the karate school at 9, they drop them at the water park at 9. And then instead of picking up the school at 1, they pick them up at the water park at 1. And we have, on that day, though, we have a lot of extra assistance for the camp, because once we go into the park, we divide them in groups of 5. And each group of 5 has a leader, one of our leadership people. And they group together, so we let them group according to their buddies. And, of course, if there's 6, because there's 5 and one has buddy 2.
Sure.
But 5 or 6 in a group. And then they each have their own little person, because the last thing you want... Now, they have lifeguards, a lot of lifeguards at the park and everything. But this way we don't lose anybody, and then everybody has to stay together. And and then they have, the big canopies, umbrellas with... tables and stuff all the way around. So we get in early, get our space where everybody puts all their stuff and congregates around like 2 tables with all the little chairs to lay back on. And so that's kind of like the place to operate from. So we'll do, once they get in, we'll do at our camp, we do a snack. We don't do dinner or lunch, but we do a snack for them.
So on Friday, at the pool, we have extra snacks. So the pool place lets you bring your own cooler in.
Yep.
And we have juice and extra snacks. And then we tell them on Friday, if you want to, you can bring money, extra money. Parents can let them bring money. And they can buy their own, because they have their own little concession stand, so they can buy stuff from there, too. But it's our busiest camp day, and it really makes it an exciting week for them.
That's fine. Jonathan, when you get to the bottom, Charleston hot seats.
Yeah, I'm done. All right.
Can you, on your summer camp thing, there was a final registration or final something?
What that is is it final summer camp sale? So it's the last time I have a sale. So it's like right before summer camp starts is the last sale. So it's like my worst sale. I have a sale. My first sale was Fat
Equipment
Tuesday.
Or is it a discount for the camp?
It's discount for camp.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
What do you charge for your camp for a week?
$250.
And how much? What's the hours?
Full day.
9 days.
8 to 6.
8 to 6.
Whew. Yeah. Well, it's a
long day. Yeah.
We do 9 to 1, and we charge $300. And we do about 20, 25 in the camp.
Yeah.
And we do it, run it for 11 weeks. We make about 60, 70 grand.
9 to 3.
That's great. For that period of time. But to the thing that we started this year, that it was Allie's idea, the girls out there, she wants to do, you can do an 8 o'clock drop-off or a 7 o'clock drop-off. Or you can do, instead of, they pick them up normally at 1, you can do a 2, a 3, or a 4 o'clock pickup. And if you for each hour, $15 extra an hour, and it basically doubles the price of the camp. But for a lot of parents, $15. Now, what we do if you do one session, we have 11 sessions. If you do multiple sessions, then you get a discount.
Right.
So we drop it $25 for each double session. If they have a family, if two kids are taking it. And they do two sessions each, then they get the 4-session rate.
What percent are your own students versus outside?
Most of them are our students, just because we fill it up so quick. But we do let them bring friends to the camp. We do tell them space is limited. We started our enrollment this March already, and if they do it in March, they get a free camp uniform, which is a T-shirt and shorts with the cruddy logo on it, and.
And you guys do it the whole summer, right?
We do it once school's out, June, and we run all the way till the end of August.
But yeah, Sean was talking a little bit about that.
We'll probably make at least $50,000 or $60,000 for that 10-week period, just off of that.
How many are internal or external?
That's what we were just talking about.
50, yeah.
We will have, if we have 20 in the camp, there might be 5 that are friends.
I have more staff, yeah. I'm not doing it 11 weeks myself. There's no way.
Oh,
I didn't touch it.
I didn't either. Sean and Allie do it. But what they do is they do it with their leadership team. And what every day, each leadership student, we have, depending on the number in the camp, because we want to have at least a 1-to-5 ratio.
Right.
So if the two of them are doing it, and there's 20, because one camp we have 30. But if there's 20, then they'll have two other assistants. And those two assistants will commit for that day. And they get leadership credits for each hour they're at the camp. So for them, they're picking up a lot of extra leadership credits.
Which that's pretty sophisticated, by the way.
What do you pay your staff, the actual staff that's working it to work? Is it just their normal salary? Did you hit them on commission or something?
Well,
or?
It's my son, so.
Oh, you're screwed up.
You're stuck. Well, it's like George, right? Yeah, you got your choice.
No, I do give them a kickback, though, based on what we do. So they'll get a percentage. And for them, because otherwise, I ain't going to want to do it.
Right.
Because it is quite a burner. So what I do is I let them on the days for camp, when they're doing camp, then they'll get 2 days off during the week, where normally they would be working every day anyway. So they basically are working either 7, 8, or 9 till 3 or 4, and then 2 days a week they get off. And the camp's Monday through Friday, so Saturday, if they want a Saturday off, they can have a Saturday off. Or they can have 1 day during the week, too. So they get a couple of days off.
You just touched on something a second ago that I know Robert hasn't gotten in through yet, and I'm not sure maybe he's got to have it or not, but like the way you kind of track the leadership hours and stuff like that, and they earn credits for it. It's like it's a pretty sophisticated system, you know. It might deserve like a little bit of conscious o'clock. We have an hour for Charles. Okay. And
tell me how much time I have in all this.
6 minutes.
Six.
Yeah. Is that good? It's a really sophisticated system.
I can do
it works really well.
Well, what it is, I mean, leadership program. You know, you have them on leadership, but we actually have an instructor training program.
Yeah, that's right.
And the instructor training program, they actually pay us to teach them how to be an instructor. Now, we tell the parents the advantage of learning how to be an instructor is not that they're... Me? Toby? Okay. The advantage of them learning how to be an instructor is that they develop the confidence to be able to stand up in front of a group of their peers and actually teach a class and have the confidence to do that. And I said, well, once they can do that, we find that in school, they become the leaders in their class at school too. And they're not afraid to stand up in front of their whole school and do a talk and talk about anything, because in our classes, they're actually teaching teenagers and they might be 10 or 12 years old. And they have a group of teenagers, or we have the teenagers teaching adults, because they're assisted in the class, but the way that they bark out the commands, you would think they're adults. I mean, they're like, I can't hear you, and stuff, because they're emulating the instructors exactly. So to be able to do that program at each of their belt test to get their, when they complete, like from first to second degree, they need so many class credits to get their second degree, but then they also need so many leadership credits to be able to get their instructor certification. And so we have a junior instructor. If they're a junior, they're not going to get a senior instructor certification, so they'll get a patch that says they're a junior instructor. But it starts off as an assistant instructor to an instructor to a senior instructor. There's like 12 rankings of the instructors, so they're walking all the way up to grandmaster instructor. Yeah. And you could be a master instructor, you can be then a chief instructor, you can be like head instructor, and then, but there's a whole list of those. I can't even say them off the top of my head.
Senior master, chief master,
yeah.
Associate master.
But each one of those requires them, when they go from first to second, during those times, as they're going through their stripe positions, they're earning those credits, so they get, you know, 60 for this level, another 60 for this level, and then we give them leadership credits for doing more than just helping in the class. If we do a summer camp and they're helping, they get leadership credits. If we have a graduation and they help, they get leadership credits. If we have we have a lot of social activities every month, and we have a lot of special training activities where...
When they help at the camp, do they neither pay for the camp nor get paid? They're just there to help?
They get the leadership credits. They get leadership credits.
But they don't pay for the camp, though?
No. No, they get free camp.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's basically a perk, because a lot of them want to do it every day because they want to come to the camp. And that's the way a lot of them get their credits in, is that they're helping in the camp, but they get to participate even though they're helping. And they'll do it like, I'm going to take that week and I'm going to take that week. The ones who cannot commit to a whole week or 2 weeks will then pick a day this week, a day that week. So each camp they'll do a day or so. So they're able, and we only do two per camp unless we have more people. And we start pre-registering, so we start seeing which ones are filling up faster. But the whole concept of getting those credits spurs them to do it. And then we have, every month we have a social activity. And we tell the parents, and you have to be in Leadership Master Club to be able to be part of that. But the reason we do that is we tell them that they're going to be here for a long time. We want them to get to know each other outside of class, because a lot of the kids make a lot of friendships that way. So we have a moon bounce party. We have a laser tag party, a bowling party. There's a whole slew of those things that you can do. That are fun activities for them. But that way it just kind of builds a little team spirit. When we have those social parties, we also have them bring a friend. So that way we're also getting buddy referrals for those social events, because those kids come in, make friends with our karate kids, and then it's easier to get them into a class, because if they come as a buddy, then they're going to get a month of lessons and a uniform.
So each of our social events has a purpose, and the purpose is, one, bring a buddy. You don't have to bring a buddy, though, so we don't say you don't get to come if you don't bring a buddy, because the other purpose is for retention. We find that as they become friends with each other and a kid doesn't come, then the social pressure of their friends call them, I haven't seen your class, how come you weren't there last week? Or, you know, we're doing the a scrimmage this week, so don't miss out on that, because each month, every month we work on a different weapon for the different curriculum, too. And as part of that, for our basic kids, we give them a taste of the master or leadership training. So every month we have one class that's we tell the parents that a teaspoon feeds the knowledge of the black belt program by having the kids come in and have a seminar on nunchuck, have a seminar on board breaking, have a seminar on the scrimma, have a seminar on sword. Then they get hooked on one of those weapons, and they want to do the weapon, they have to be in our master leadership program to be able to learn that as part of their curriculum. And so it's another way of boosting them into the upgrade program. And that's probably my 6 minutes. Yeah, and in the summer camp, up until 2 summers ago, we never did summer camp. And the main reason was none of my instructors wanted to do it. And until my son started teaching for me, and then he didn't have a choice. and then they saw how much money they could make. And then for them, you know, the staff that are doing it get, I mean, it's extra hours that they normally wouldn't get. So they're, you know, during the summer, they're getting almost double pay because of the extra, you know, they're picking up an extra, you know, 4 to 6 hours a day on top of what their normal hours. And you can utilize your assistant instructors or your part-timers. It doesn't necessarily have to be your head staff, as long as you've got some people that are responsible enough to keep track of them. On Friday, I always come to pool day, and I bring all the refreshments for everybody. And that way I make sure everybody gets into the pool okay. And then I'm there at 1 o'clock when they pick them up to make sure everybody gets back to the parents okay, because the last thing I want is a kid lost and a parent can't find them. And then when the parents see that I'm there and I'm picking them up, then they don't feel, even though Sean and Allie are old enough and mature enough, that they don't look at them as kids anyway. You know, Sean's 23 and Allie's 20.
Did you have, I ran a full-time camp. Before I went there, I tried a part-time, like you're doing 9 to 1.
Uh-huh.
And so many parents said to me, we need it all day. Do you have a...
That's why we did the extended hours.
So you offered like daycare?
This is the first time we did the extended hours. And the reason we didn't do it last year is we filled the camp up with our own students in that 9 to 1. And the parents who said, I can't pick them up till 2, then we said, no problem, because our instructors are here anyway. We'll let them work. They can work in the classroom and work on some of their stuff. I said, we also have, they can watch karate movies, or, you know, we have a video that they can watch to keep them entertained if they want, so it's not a problem. And we did probably have 4 or 5 kids who did take a little more time. Parents didn't pick them up right away. But this was Allie's, I mean, because usually your instructors don't want to come to the school at 7 o'clock. Right. But she's, you know, she's an early bird anyway, so she said, hey, can we offer an early drop-off? And I said, sure, what time? Well, we're thinking an 8 o'clock and a 7 o'clock. She said, because some of the parents already asked me, because we'd like to drop them off on the way to work.
Sure.
And then pick them up on the way home from
work. You do it every week. Do you have different themes from week to week?
Yes. No, every week is a different theme. And each day is a different activity. And we work a different weapon each week. So that way, if they're doing, like, because we have some that will sign up for 10, 11 weeks. And we probably had last year, 5 kids that did all sessions. And
And what we did last year that really, really, I think, got a lot of the kids into it. Sean and Ellie don't want to do it this year, but I'm kind of twisting their arm on it, is I let them count the camp as class credits, which means that they could test earlier. So during the camp, it became an accelerated program for them. Because they have a karate class during it, they have a weapons class during it, and they're doing a lot of other physical stuff. So we give them, for each camp, we give them 2 class credits for each day of camp. And basically that's because they're doing an hour of karate and then they're doing an hour of weapons anyway, or at least a half hour.
How many credits, when you're saying, how many, are you talking about the leadership program or just students?
Our students test normally. See, once we changed on the rotating curriculum, and now we used to test, before we used to test every 28 classes. And now we did to the 2-month cycle where everybody tests every 2 months. And most of the kids in every 2 months are doing 16 classes, is what we're shooting for. Some will do 20. Some will be a couple short. We'll have them work a little extra, have one of our assistants get with them to make sure that they know their stuff. Because we tell the parents if they're short a class or two, the important thing is that they know enough stuff, they know their material well enough to pass. And so if they get off cycle, because on cycle is twice a week, 8 weeks. And so with the summer camp, see, they thought that that's going to throw that cycle off, but I said it really, they still go their normal cycle, but if they complete the summer camp, then when they test for their next cycle, they basically get a double promotion. Now, we're not going to do anybody to black belt like that.
Of course not.
But whether they go from, from a green belt to a purple belt in that cycle, it doesn't make that much difference anyway, because when they get to their browns and black belt levels, they have to, the testing's
on.
I let the instructors test them up to brown belt. At brown belt, I test them. And they have to test on the day of graduation. But we have 3 graduations on Saturday. And this month, next month is black belt graduation. But on our underbelt graduation, we have our little ninja guys graduate early. School program, then they'll come in with the little ninjas. And then we have, we'll divide it then and have our underbelts graduating. And it can be basic, it can be master leadership, it doesn't matter. They're graduating next. And then the next one at 2 o'clock is the brown belts who are testing for their higher levels of brown. If the advanced brown are testing for their novice black belt, then that's the last test they do, because once they're novice black belt, then they then go to the black belt testing. And then they do all their testing. And then the black belt testing, they're testing from novice to black, first degree to gold stripe, to green stripe, to purple, all those. And then second degree. Second degrees go through 2 tests for each stripe. So, whereas we have a first degree gets a black belt with a gold stripe in it. So every testing cycle, they pay their testing fee, they get a new belt. And the belt is a gold belt. I'm a black belt with a gold stripe, black belt with a green stripe that runs through it. When they get to be second degree, it has a double gold stripe. But then they have to do another test, so they get a stripe on the belt. For second degree, they got to go through 2 tests at each of the colors. So that's because it takes longer to go from second to third. And then when they get to third degree, they have to do 3 tests for each of those colors. So there'll be 3. And we change instead of putting the stripe in the belt, we then put stripes on the end of the belt. So they do gold stripe, gold stripe, gold stripe. Now they have 3 gold stripes. Then they replace 1 gold stripe with a green stripe to a green stripe. Now they have 3 green stripes. So there's 3 tests for the gold, 3 for the green, 3 for... And that way it takes them longer to get to fourth degree. But by having the testing in the same cycle as it was, from first to second, or second to third, or third to fourth, there's just more of the stripes. There's more curriculum that they're learning. I mean, they're learning so much stuff that it's always new, it's always fresh to them, and that's how you keep your black belt. Because most schools, and not you guys probably, because you've been in with what we're doing, most of the schools, you know, old school, when I was going for my second and third degree, it was like a foreman, some sparring and some board breaking. And maybe some double sparring. Has one, two guys.
You get to do choreo for 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's a basic one traditional or two traditional forms, which, you know, didn't take 2 years to learn. And half the guys would disappear for a year and a half, and come back 6 months before their time was in, so they could then test for their degree. And they didn't ever keep track of lessons. I mean, it wasn't like you had a class card back in those days. And that is if the people even stayed, because most of them didn't even stay. When I came to work for Jun Rhee in 1970 in Washington, D.C., he didn't charge his black belts. But he didn't have hardly any. And until I came up there and then brought all my friends from Texas to teach for him, we started then. I told Master Rhee, I said, Master Rhee, I'm gonna start, and that's when we started the Master Club. I said, I'm going to start a Master Club, and I'm going to charge the guys from first to second. He says, how much are you going to charge them? And back then, it was, I said, $2,500, because that's what we were charging for black belt back then. And he says, are you crazy? How can you do that? I don't charge anything, and look, nobody's there. And I said, that's because you're not charging anything. They don't put any value on it. And I said, the second thing is, they're training in with the advanced belts, and they're doing the same thing they were doing. They have their form that they have to basically kind of work on their own, but all the warm-ups and all the other stuff that we're going through, they have to go through with the underbelt, so they're not really feeling like it's a black belt class. So I want to start a special class for black belts, charge them that amount, and he said, okay, well, you try it at your school. If it works, then I'll do it in the other schools. And, of course, we signed up. I didn't wait till they got the black belt to sign them up. I went out and started taking all the student body who were already on black belt and then signed them up for that program. And, you know, we did back then, this was in 70, probably 72 or 73, we did like $50,000 that month, which the highest his schools were doing when I came was under 10,000, and my schools were doing 20 or 30, and then I broke 50. And that was
which
kind
at
of,
that time was just unheard of. I mean,
it might as well have been a million, right?
Yeah. Well, immediately everybody did. You know, now the other schools, they weren't doing what I was doing, but they were. You know, as I went higher, they kept coming. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was down here, they were still down here. But it's kind of like
that's what happens out here too. You know,
it's the rising tide lifts all boats, and even the ones on the bottom pull up. Yeah. It's because they don't do everything, but they do some things. And it's just picking up a little bit of it and not doing everything.
You know, the two big ahas, of course, and you guys already have at least one of them, is that the process of testing between black belts shouldn't be any different than the process of testing between color belts, right? But also, the next aha should be the process of training from one level to the next level of instructor shouldn't be any different than it was training for white belt black belt either. You know, that's a successful system, right? It's the same formula as EverQuest Online or any of the online role-playing games, right? I mean, the reason that they have millions and millions of subscribers that stay with them for years and years and years is because they get to go out on quests and learn new things and be able to cast a new spell, and then they go do it over again, you know?
Well, we've just started tweaking the instructor training where they actually have, you know, more intricate testing, and there's a written test, and there's a test that they go through that's you know, on while they're teaching, we're evaluating, we're scoring them and grading them on things, but they know what we're going to score them on, what we're looking for, and you know how much what's the enthusiasm in the class, and how much positive reinforcement are they giving? Are they using negative analogies? Are they giving them positive recognition? And are they showcasing the student? And are they pre-framing the master and leadership programs? And you know all the things you would want your instructors to do. And I've probably got at least 12 kids that range from ages 12 to 15 that can teach better than any of my old adult instructors. And I say my old adult instructors because they're kind of set in their ways and they just kind of teach the way they want to teach, and it's kind of hard to go back and make them do it this way or that way. So I've slowly started cutting them back to where, you know, they're just like one day a week. Do I let them even come in and teach? And that's just because they want to stay part of the system.
It shouldn't be any different. I mean, you know, Dan tells us, you know, confidentially, right? Dan, every time we talk to the guy, talking about the NAPA business, we're talking about the franchise business, we're talking about the school business, right? So these three business models. And every time we get off the phone with them, or right before we get off the phone with them, the resounding summation of everything we just talked about for 40 minutes was, run it the same way you run the dry fields. Click. Right? Same thing. You know what I mean? The same format of how you bring a student from white belt to black belt. You do the same format as getting them to an instructor, getting them to third degree, fourth degree, CBLA. But Charles, you're up, and I'll be back in a minute.
Okay.
Good. You're on the hot seat.
Well, I don't have any ahas. I mean, his calendar and placemats and all that stuff is really, really, really good stuff. We talked from the ESA and other stuff. You know, the basic thought was you want to improve your school and try to do one thing 100% and just make a big killer change. You do 100 things 1%, make those little incremental change, and therefore fixes the culture, changes the culture in schools to something that will support a higher student count and more money and so forth. And basically, that's what I've been doing and tweaking, and the results that I've got so far was that, you know, historically, you know, my retention rate was 7.9%. This is way back. And, you know, Toby and everything, you know, you need to do more marketing, you need to do this, that, and the other, and which is correct. The problem was is that I couldn't see them, you know, spend a bunch of money for marketing and then, well, external marketing, and then having it walk out the back door. It just seemed to me like flushing money down the toilet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I started changing things within the school to work on retention rate. Retention rate became number one for me because, you know, through Master Robert and our discussion so many times, you know, you keep people longer, you can upgrade into higher level programs. And obviously, how much does student work? Well, your student value goes up, obviously. And so I worked and I got my student attrition rate down to 2.7%.
Nice.
And then I got it down to 2.3%. And right now it's at 2%. Because of these little bitty things. Now, I am devoid of any external marketing at this point in time. But, you know, one of the things I got to understand was in a martial arts school, I guess it would be in characteristic of any business, you have a natural level of what your school will support. You know, we were talking earlier about, you know, how many people you can support on the floor and this, that, and the other. And you can artificially inflate your numbers by doing a lot of marketing, bringing more people in, but they're going to be leaving out the back door. A vessel will only hold so much liquid. Now, you can push more in, and it will artificially rise above, but as it's spilling
over. How many
square
feet do you have?
6,000, well, 2,000 square foot training floor area. But I have 6,000 because I have an after school program, and I have an extra room kind of like this one and so forth. That's why, you know. So, really, about...
Do you use that floor for your regular karate classes?
No, I don't, but I'm going to be in as I make some other changes. Yeah,
that's where your marketing comes in. You can grow into that.
Right. Well, I mean, I've still got room to grow in my school right now, but my point that I was getting at is that, I mean, literally, I didn't even have a sign out front until, you know, October, November of this 2008. I literally didn't have a sign up, but my school was steadily, steadily growing. I stayed stagnant for a long time until I started making these little changes within the school, you know.
The sign definitely helps.
Oh. Well, actually, you know, we've gotten a couple of three people in off the sign.
Do you have drive-by? Are you off in a bad area?
Everything. No, we have a real good area. Heavy traffic count. There's a lot of different aspects, but we get all of our students from referrals. And another thing that I came to understand is that, you know, historically, we were trying to sign up everybody that we could. And then I got to thinking about it. You know, Master Oliver made a comment to me one time about, you know, a lot of business models where they nickel and dime everybody for everything. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that. And he made a comment, he didn't like that. So they stopped doing it. So I stopped doing it, because it makes perfect sense, because when you're dealing with a high-quality student, they want to feel special. They want to be treated as someone special. And nickel and diming them doesn't get it there. So, like I said, I started changing things within my school to create that. my school is just steadily, steadily, steadily growing. I don't know where the ceiling is as far as student count yet because I haven't hit it.
How many do you have yet?
A little over 200. You know, my goal, back when we were beginning, you know, back in 2008, I wanted to hit 200 by December of this past year. But I was doing no external marketing at all, and I hit 200. You know, it's a little over 200 now because we're steadily, steadily growing. Now, take into consideration that I was heavy emphasis on the internal systems and creating the atmosphere of my school that Master Oliver has been talking about. And I've almost kind of like been absentee for the past several months because I've been fighting this fight with the state of Texas, which has almost become a full-time job.
What fight is it?
Well,
there's a regulatory move down there.
Potentially have an effect. Well, it does have an effect on all sports-based programs. They're trying to force sports-based programs to become big here.
Okay.
You know, but
get licensed.
Rough structure.
Right. But anyway, the point is that it has taken an inordinate amount of time to fight this, and I've been successful at this point in time so far, and it's coming to a final, but it'll all be done by the end of May, which means I get to go back into my martial arts school and do what I love
doing. Do it.
But I had to fight this so I would have a martial arts school to go back into. Some of the little tweaks, the little things that I did was Jonathan and I were talking about this earlier about, you know, having a video screen in the schools. Well, I've got mine positioned. I have a real odd-shaped floor the way it is, so I hung it. I suspended it from the ceiling and faced it towards all the parents. So the parents are sitting there looking at the TV screen and underneath looking, they see all the classes and stuff going on. And I'm given all the information about our upcoming events and all these different things like that through the video. At the same time, showing a lot of pictures and video footage of the kids doing all kind of martial arts things and all. You know, the most recent demo we just did and so forth and so on. But I also started another deal that's got a lot of positive feedback was I started running ads on the video screen of the parents that own businesses in our school. And the caption was that these businesses support our family. Let's support them too. Mm-hmm. And
that. And the newsletter and stuff, yeah, as well. Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
Another thing was that really helped in training my staff was I'm the biggest cheerleader and reinforcer. I'm a heavy, heavy advocate of staff training, obviously. Not just on, the floor, but on the business aspects, but I spend a lot of time constantly reinforcing in our mind what it is that we do, why do we exist, what's different than us and anybody else, and the fact that we want to build powerful people, And I bring in our articles, I bring in different things from whatever, we have the most obese kids in the world and, these different things like that. And I tie their job into a social structure. Is to, we are positioned to be saviors of the world, so to speak. That's why our mission is so incredibly important, which takes it out of the context of the job. This is a mission. And because of that, that is transforming my staff to where they can function without me being there, which allowed me to do the fight with the state of Texas, which also went to the retention rate. And, it's kind of funny if it made me think a little bit now that it even just came out of my mouth. I backed out of the school more to fight this fight, and our retention rate has gone.
Right.
Well, maybe
if you're not part of the problem.
I will tell you one thing. I assume it was the same way in the school, but I don't have any evidence to prove that. But let's not talk about this room, right? Because it's personal. But, Dan's Platinum Group or, any group of, entrepreneurial people, right? The sheer level of ADHD in the atmosphere is enough to, kill a horse, right? So we're usually not very good at, managing operational details and stuff like that, right? Usually we cause more havoc when we go somewhere. I know at NAPMA, I mean, Jiminy Christmas, the first 9 months every time I was in the office, I fired two people, right? I mean, literally, we went from 24 people to like six, you know? And
Sir Master Oliver loved that.
Well, partially by his direction. I mean, yeah, you know, about half of them were his idea, about half of them weren't. You know, but it was what it was, right? But I mean, that's
well,
it.
I
mean,
had
we're
that
just
conversation
schizophrenic
with
like
him
that,
about an instructor,
know?
So I know what you mean.
Yeah, we're schizophrenic like that. So you know, it's useful to monitor. Hey, Rob, it's useful to monitor everybody's numbers, including your own. You know, like close ratio. That's always the one thing. Is the school? You know, the school owner knows every salesperson's close ratio except like theirs, right? You know what I'm saying? So you know.
Well,
it is what it
well,
is.
Well, and you know, seconding what you said at the ESA with Toby and he was going over how they do things. We've gone, like you have, Charles, to that no more nickel and dime and everybody. You know, we don't charge for our special events. We don't charge for our seminars. We don't charge for testing. You know, we've pretty much taken that same model. And you know,
it's a value judgment.
I don't know who I was talking. Was it you this morning? I was talking to Eric. I think it was you. About so our retention, first of all, is totally different. I mean, the numbers have skyrocketed because of it. You know, to better. But the other thing that was a huge difference for us was the school culture, the feeling around the school.
That's the big deal.
I mean, for us, I used to have to. You know, even when I first took over, I used to have to pull teeth to get referrals. And now, especially the last 3 months, 80% of the students I'm signing are referrals. I mean, we're doing 10, 15, 17 referral students a month signed up just off of what our students are bringing in. And that's, you know, since we made the changes in, what was it, June?
Yeah.
August, whatever it was.
I mean, really, and what we're talking about is just relationship management. I mean, every time you ask for money, you damage the relationship at a certain point. And there are points where that's reasonable, expectable, predictable, and fine. You know, it doesn't mean you never charge them for anything.
Yeah.
It just means, you know, when you go back to the well, you know that you're dinging the relationship a little. You know, so are you adding more to the emotional bank account, you know, at times when you're not doing that? You know, and at what ratio is that? And just what happens is sometimes the pendulum swings too far the other direction and it whacks everything out. You know what I mean? But admittedly so, it makes the upfront sale harder.
Because you know,
you're asking for a bigger number,
but not proportionally.
Though,
because I get people that have
not
gone to a competitor school, and then will come to ours, and you know, my tuition is $60 higher than any school in my area for entry level. But we look at them, and we, you know, the first thing out of my mouth is, we do a free seminar every month the kids can come to. We do an activity night every month the kids can come to and bring their friends. And when we upgrade you from belt to belt, there's no fees.
Right.
We don't charge any of that stuff. And this is our tuition price.
Right.
Well, Jesus, the school I was just at was $100 a month, and it's $20 for this event, and $20 for that, and $35 for testing. And it immediately clicks.
Yeah, you're describing something a little different. Let me back up a half a step. You've got two different things to think about here. You've got, number one, price competition in the marketplace, which just freaking forget about it. You know what I mean? Because there should never be that conversation.
Right.
The second conversation that you need to think about is, can I physically afford it or not? So what I'm saying is, what you will find is that there will be a smaller number of human beings who can fit that number into their budget the bigger that number gets. But it's never proportionately less than the increase in revenue that you'll have by doing it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now, there might be a ceiling to it. Master Oliver always says, I haven't found it yet, but there might be a ceiling, and I don't know what it is. But you know what I mean? But really, all it is mathematics. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just mathematics. And unfortunately, what we see, even with new franchisees, right? Sometimes they'll, you know, we have one guy right now who's particularly irritable, and he said, oh yeah, well, the last 30 days, my conversion rate went from, you know, 68% to 64%. This doesn't work. Well, okay. Number one, your tuition is now double what it was when your rate was 68%. But even if that wasn't relevant, let's go back and fix the 4% problem. You know, because it's not the price part. It's something else. You know, and then you ask them five questions, and they're not doing any of these five things. You're like, okay, well, let's go fix these five things. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. You know what I mean? So I think we're all on the same page with that. You know, there's no problem with that. But, you know, you just have to manage the relationship that way.
You know? Well, you know, the one thing is
managing a relationship with the students is the key truth. But
yeah.
You know, one of the problems I hear all the time in talking to schools and stuff is that, you know, they start making these comments about, you know, I can go and do it, but then, you know,
the
belief system of the employees and stuff is not where the owners is and stuff like that. And I've given that a lot of thought. So, you know, I read a book, Predictably Irrational,
mm-hmm.
and it's about a social-based contract versus a business-based contract. You know, mm-hmm. if you have, for example, mm-hmm. you know, Eric asked me to come over and help him move some stuff, and I was like, okay, fine, you know, you're my friend, I'm there, you know. I come over and help him move in, and I may have worked 5 hours, you know, heavy lifting, doing all kind of stuff. Now, on a practical matter, you would think that, and I'm doing it for free, so on a practical matter, you would think that if he offered me $5 an hour for the time that I spent there, I would be better off.
Yeah.
Now I got $25.
But emotionally, yeah. Yeah.
Not happy.
Yeah, yeah.
But mm-hmm. that's violating a social contract.
Mm-hmm.
If he offered me $5 an hour for doing that, I would be insulted.
Exactly.
And that would have damaged the relationship because I crossed a line.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've endeavored to do is I got to understand, you know, which is better and more naturally maintained? A business relationship or social relationship? Well, the social relationship. Because it comes from the heart.
It's understood, yeah.
It's understandable. There are rules that everybody is on the same page with, right? So that's what I started doing within my school as far as our staff and explaining. So instead of my program director, Gina, or my son, Aaron, and which y'all meet this weekend, or any of the staff, you're not at a job. This is a calling.
Yeah.
You're not selling. You know, if I'm sitting across from Jonathan here and I'm going to try to sign up my program, I don't allow my staff to sit across from. They have to sit beside, like Eric's sitting, and, you know, this way, because they become assistant buyers, as opposed to direct sellers, right?
So we actually don't even have a table. We have a round table that we use.
Yeah.
Well, I have a round, like a coffee table looking thing. I got a couch and a chair in there, kind of like this. But the point, I mean, I have something to sit and stuff on the show, you know. But
yeah, but you know what you're describing, I think, is really important, is that you can manage a lot of different ways, but one way is you can manage the task or you can manage the culture. And managing the culture takes care of the task.
Exactly.
Because you're teaching a belief system.
Exactly.
You're not teaching an activity list.
Well, and I know what you're going through, because we just did it, and I mean I had two instructors that were just not on board. It, to them, didn't make any sense. We couldn't get them to understand it. You know, Master Oliver and I talked in depth about it, and they had to go.
Right.
I mean, it just, they weren't going to fit, and, you know, they didn't understand. And I was impressed because the way he told me to handle it, I kept them both as students, which I didn't think was going to happen. You know, I didn't really think that when we let them go from staff that they were going to stay with the school, and they're both happy. They're both training. And, but it's yeah, and, you know, we had one or two instructors that were wishy-washy about it, and you know, they said, all right, we'll give it a chance. And one of them, which is, you know, my full-time head instructor, wasn't sure. He came to me last week and, you know, apologized, let me down. I'm sorry, I didn't really think it was going to work, and it's amazing the difference. So, you know, I know exactly where you're coming from, and we went through this.
Yeah, but it's paid off huge dividends. Another thing that I've done, constantly looking for, is new things to add to leadership programs to create the higher value. One thing that we do in our leadership program during leadership class every Saturday is that, you know, everybody gets up and makes a speech, and, you know, they take turns. And they can give a speech on anything they want, it doesn't matter, as long, you know, 10 minutes, then afterwards you got a Q&A session and then everybody critiques what they've done. And I'm talking to kids all the way up, it don't matter. And when I was talking to some other friends of mine that had started, another friend of mine that started doing this, and he started a debate kind of club within the school, and I got to thinking about that. I said, oh man, that'd be awesome. So I started what's called the Great Debates, and that's inclusive of all the leadership programs. And each time I'll pick three people against, and they got to go one-on-one, and then everybody decides which had the greatest argument. But the thing is that I'm fixing it about things that's dealing directly with their lives. And right now, there was a big controversy about cell phone usage amongst kids. they're getting earlier and earlier and earlier. They're even collecting them in elementary school.
Yep.
The kids got cell phones.
We've seen that too.
And since we've had an increase of cell phone uses in schools, there have been a decrease in grades because they're texting and doing stuff like that, and if they get caught, of course, it's complicated. So in the great debates, I got two teams arguing in the case, 3-4 and 3-against. And we had a, to kick it off, one of the young ladies in our leadership program is on the debate team at her school. And to show them how the process works, she and I had an impromptu debate about rights of privacy of kids. And she was four, obviously, because that's what she passionately believed in. And as a parent, you know, I was on the opposite side. And it was funny.
Who won?
I won. She was good. She put up a fight, but, you know, she couldn't overcome the truth.
But after you round kicked her in the head, she gave up.
Well, actually, it was in the gut. No. In this debate, it was kind of funny because all the parents that were there to pick up their kids, or had dropped their kids off, and we kind of started talking about this, they didn't believe it. They all sat, and they were all listening. I had parents, everybody. And I thought to myself, oh, this is hilarious.
Did the parents all clap after or something?
Oh, I had.
And the kids all booed?
No, actually, the kids got a better understanding of what was going on. The argument being that it's their room, they should have privacy, and so forth and so on. And the argument that took it over the top that she couldn't counter was putting it in their terms and things that would be right for them. If you and I are going somewhere, now, my position is that you have the right to privacy if you have the assumption of responsibility. If you own your house, then yes, that's the Constitution counts. If you do not, only the person who owns the house has that right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, he's the parent. I like it. Trump card.
Right. Of course.
I like it.
And I told her, I said, okay.
That's kind of a good quote. Say that again.
This is my house and you'll do what I say.
What was it? What was it again?
You only have the right of privacy if you assume if you assume the responsibility. Now, and what I put to her was, let's just say that you and I are going somewhere, and then I decide to crawl over in the back seat. Okay, now that is my space. It's your car, but it's my space. So therefore, your analogy means that anything I do within my space should be my business. So I started doing drugs. Now the police pulls us over. Who goes to jail?
Who's responsible?
We both do.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're responsible, because it's your car. So that means that my right of privacy overrides, and my right to be irresponsible overrides your obligation of responsibility? No, it doesn't. So therefore, if you don't assume the obligation of responsibility, you cannot have the right to privacy. And that's how do you come back to that? But anyway, the kids got all fired up.
It's a winner.
Well, and something
that was the missing word, the obligation of responsibility.
That's right.
Something that we've done with our leadership program that we just did last month, and it was a huge success. I know a lot of you guys do like leadership clinics before you convert new students in. At least I think I heard somebody say that earlier. I don't know if
I do it twice a year.
It was like I have a friend of mine who's he's a business success coach, life coach kind of type thing. He's the former CEO, president of that minor league baseball team that we were talking about yesterday. And that's what he left to go do. So what we did was we set up a, leadership seminar, per se, with him. I paid him to come in. And if you were in our leadership team, it was free. And if you were a regular student, I think it was like $20 or something. I mean, we didn't make it expensive, just enough to cover whatever he charged me. And he did how to be a champion in life was his thing, that he did.
And it was just fantastic. I mean, it was phenomenal. The speech that he gave was over the top. And, you know, we went ahead and I'd say, I think I had 22 non-leadership students come to the clinic. And I think out of those 22, I think 16 converted. So
yeah, you have to orchestrate events like that a lot. You know,
yeah.
We try to do one every month. We do like a leadership clinic thing.
You know, I had one idea. I mean, just to, this fight that I've got with the state of Texas involves...
It's taking the wind out of the sails.
Well, it really has.
Yeah.
For me.
I can imagine.
However, I'm just thinking, you know, I was thinking to myself, you know, there's got to be a silver lining in every cloud, right? And part of it, you know, is picking up about what James was talking about, becoming a celebrity in your own little world or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's happening with me right now because I'm on the TV. I'm doing it.
In fact, why don't you, not to derail you, but why don't you get a bunch of pictures with you and a bunch of, like, senators and congressmen and stuff like that and send them over to me.
Okay.
And we'll do some stuff in the magazine and content and stuff.
And then
like that.
Put a little blip in there, write your congressman.
Well, yeah. We've got that website going now, but we need to drive some traffic to.
Yeah, we will.
But,
thinking about this,
you know,
you're talking about the comedy, we're talking about driving content and driving traffic and all this. And I was thinking about this. How else can I do this? And then I had kind of an epiphany. I said, you know, so much of our educational system fails because it's not based in reality. What if I went to the high schools in the area, went to their government class or civics class, and gave a speech to the classes about this fight? This is an actual deal, and one that they can track on the internet, by the way.
This is what can happen, yeah.
Yeah.
They have a good website.
Yeah.
Really good website.
You can track it. There's one thing about Texas, they got a really good website dealing with the legislature. But you can track the progress of the bills as an ongoing process. This is going to be done by the end of May, which is the time that school ends, right? So it would have a conclusion, and I would be able to keep them updated via email as to the progress and explain to them exactly what is really going on in the real world, not what they learn in civics class,
yeah.
How it ties into things, you know? And I approached a teacher just to bounce this off, and I talked to a couple of my high school students and asked them what they thought. And they all thought it was a great idea because this is real-world stuff.
Yeah.
And it's something that they can actually see and understand what's going on behind the scenes, because I'll be telling who I'm meeting with and what happened and so forth and so on. And so that the big focus there would be to get the school system, even high school or whatever, to start seeing martial arts as part of the community in a broader aspect than what it is right now.
Anything that ingratiates you. I mean, you know, the blanket is anything that ingratiates you. The school system is a winner.
Sure.
You know.
But, I mean, that's just another thought.
No, yeah. I like it a lot. In fact, we should probably do, you know, weekly you and I get on the phone or send me an email update and we'll blast it out to everybody, you know. I've got the thing. I'm tracking the thing now on my end. So I mean, we have content in the magazine already and stuff like that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, absolutely. And for the students, too. I mean, you know, wait a minute. That's a good question. Where is there a herd of people who are, like the Young Republicans Club and the Young Democrats Club and stuff like that? There's a herd of people who are pretty engaged in this.
See, my problem...
They're high schoolers, but that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Especially
absolutely.
For you, yeah.
My problem right now is that trying to do the fight itself and
so
work on this other stuff at the same time at the pace it's moving.
I can help you with that.
So fast.
I've got a connection. One of our guys I can hook you up with, and literally one of the things that he can do is, you know, you get on the phone with him once a week, and they record and transcribe what you talked about, and they'll go and make an email series out of it for you. You know, stuff like that. It's like
just,
you know, $3 an hour.
You know what I find so much in the state? Well, I'm sure it's everywhere, but every time I go to talk to martial arts school and stuff, and you think that this would be a no-brainer because we're martial arts school.
Dude, welcome to my
fighters,
world.
You know? and talk to them, because it could close down martial arts across the state of Texas completely. This has the potential to do.
Well, and then the next step is, where does it go after that?
Well, Texas is one of the better other states, you know? Anyway, not that I'm going to get into the discussion about exactly what the fight is, but it surprised the heck out of me that martial artists aren't standing up and wanting to get into a fight. It's like pulling freaking teeth.
Well, that's an interesting thing you just said there, though. What do we teach as martial arts instructors, though, when it comes to fighting? To avoid it at all costs. That's probably why you're coming up against that.
No, I don't think that's the case. I think what am I in?
I don't know, though. As a business owner,
is that they're scared.
And is this being my lifeblood?
Well, it's not so much that.
I wouldn't back off at all.
What is
I mean,
right? I'm standing up for what's right in front of
me. I'm not arguing that point. Yeah. I'm just trying to see when you say you think.
Well, I've got guys that are even really good friends of mine. They're just like, man, I don't want to get mixed up with the state. I don't want to deal with that. You got no choice. Because this is going to be rammed down your throat unless you fight it. But it's surprising that martial artists can't see that. But yet, I finally got through to the head people to gymnastics. Oh, my Lord. That's who I've been on the phone with a couple of years. Man, it's creating a groundswell with those people.
Now, that's big business there, though. I mean, they're double what we are.
Well, I know, you know, but the thing is that every one of them is willing to jump in and get into the fray. I talked to a couple of gymnastics schools in my area, and they were just like kind of keeping their head down. So I went to talk with their organization. And, well, we got it would literally close down the gyms that produced the two girl gold medalists that are the Beijing Olympics and stuff.
And you know what reality is on this thing better than anybody does, but in reality, probably it would go to appeal and it would probably be reversed, but that takes time. You know what I mean? Takes time.
The truth of it is this, and this, I'm really speaking about it affects martial arts schools.
Yeah.
The law is written, dealing with this in 1975. It has not been amended since. You know, 34 years ago...
Well, the Constitution was written,
200
years ago.
Well, they can't predict what was going to be like
today. 26 times.
Sure enough. But what the case is now is that if things have come to... I've been fighting this since year 2000, and things have come to a head now because the daycare lobby has gotten more power. They hired Bill Pewitt as one of the top lobbyists in the state of Texas. And I didn't have the money to hire lobbyists. I mean, I've been slugging this out, not totally by myself,
mainly.
But pretty much.
Yeah, mainly.
And... I've been able to overcome, but because our position is so correct, you know. And what's happened at this point in time is if we don't fix it now, then the Texas legislature meets every 2 years. That means that we're going to be fighting out school by school, case by case in court.
County by county.
You know, until we can get back to the next legislative session. The TLCCA, which is the Texas Licensed Child Care Association, has gone on a rampage, and they've gone to city to city, turning in every martial arts school, every gymnastics school, everybody, but they did martial arts first, and that's where...
Turning them in on what basis?
The illegal daycare.
Yeah.
Most martial arts schools, unless they're running after school, I mean, you could...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're there for 45 minutes.
It's not the way the law's written.
Yeah, 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 yeah. To save all the craziness that I mean, Charles has this stuff down, but really what it is the law is contradicting any business practice. If you have students in there X times a week for X amount of time, you are a daycare. But if you are a daycare, you can't teach skills. Right? So it's mutually exclusive, which would mean you couldn't be a martial arts school, a dance school, or a gymnastics school at all.
Is that true?
That's great. It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true.
If you have your kid in daycare, they're required by law to teach your child nothing of value.
That's right. That's right. But that's really what it is.
I didn't think of that.
That's really
I like it.
It's a completely contradictory two sets of statutes that would...
Holy
would
crap.
Make it impossible for you to operate anything that has kids in it that teaches them a skill. This is how stupid this is.
So what do they do in daycare in Texas? They just sit there and veg?
What about Best Buy?
Sport or skill-based programs. So basketball, football.
I mean, they're playing basketball, football.
In a daycare.
There's a lot of... It's crazy. It's crazy.
In a daycare, you have to make them go outside and play on the playground for 30 minutes a day to teach them gross physical motor skills. Now, they can just go out and sit in the sun and play video games.
Now, these guys that are doing all this, like, rampaging and stuff, they're probably the guys that are holding the certificates and you have to pay us to get certified to be these people.
They're perceiving...
No, it's the daycare centers that are doing it. Yeah,
the daycare.
But it is still money oriented, right?
Oh, absolutely.
It's the daycare association. It's the daycare association.
Well, the end result as it stands right now is that
you know, we've made a lot of headway. And now that I've finally got the gymnastics people on board, and I got to the right people, and it's just taken off like gangbusters. I mean, hugely.
Well, because they'll get USA Gymnastics involved, and that'll be the end of that.
Well, it is. That's what
that's what'll happen.
Well, it, you know, it's
hopefully it'll be like a Rosie O'Donnell versus Donald Trump thing, and she'll become, they'll be like Rosie O'Donnell.
Right.
I'm sorry, they opened their mouths.
Well, that's what's happening right now. Even just with what I've done, and in fact, I used that, Rob, when I was testifying in the Senate hearing as a Charles Dudley representative of Texas Marshall.
Good.
They moved my name to the top of the list.
Good.
Which was a huge.
See, I think what we should do is we'll take the thing that we already did. We'll have it broken down, and let's talk again maybe after the show.
Yeah.
And we'll get a constant stream of communication going, and we'll do a little thing in the magazine that we can reprint out, and you can use as mailers and stuff like that. And, I mean, there's some leverage on this.
Yeah,
that we
big
can get
time.
Done.
And you know, the thing is though, like I said, this whole scenario. I mean.
Oh, by the way, we're gonna put the now this is the self-serving part of it. Right, I mean, because you have to look for opportunity, right?
Well, of course.
We're going to put all the telemarketers on Texas as soon as we're on the show. So you know, let's talk, and we'll talk about who you've talked to and who you haven't talked to. And we're going to sick all the telemarketers after them to enroll them into NATMA. But this is going to be part of the conversation. Is you need to help us, you know, help us help Charles fight this thing. And here are the three action steps that we're taking right now, and all that sort of stuff. So, and we're you know, there are a couple things that. Hopefully it can happen by the time the show's over. That'll give us some more leverage to work with, you know what I mean?
That's wonderful.
But anyway, so what do you need? What can we help you? It's been pretty good this weekend so far. But
yeah, it really has. And what I need is, anyway, starting back where we were starting before, things that I've fixed inside my school to drop the attrition rate. I don't know how am I going to get the attrition rate really any lower than what it is. I mean, I don't know.
You don't need to.
I need what you've got. With the external market and what you and Jason need.
I would start internal, but yeah. Especially right now, I would start internally. But, you know.
Well, I've got the internal. I mean, my school is growing without all that.
Yeah.
I don't know where my ceiling is because it's still growing.
So, therefore,
if I do the external marketing, I mean...
Yeah.
What are you doing internally?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, everything has come from word of mouth. You know, I've tried the different things where, you know, I ran contests within the school and all this other stuff, and every time I did, it was successful, but every time it brought in the wrong element in my school.
Okay.
That was against the culture. And again, it goes back to what we're talking about. People that are bringing students into my school now is because they believe in what we're doing and they see the results. Whereas we run a contest to see if we can bring in the most people, this, that, and the other, that's more of a business arrangement. Because they're getting something for it. If they're doing it because they passionately believe in it, they'll work like crazy to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want...
You have to position
really
it around.
Clear about separating the business relationship from the social relationship.
Mm.
And to me, the social relationship trumps everything. And that's why... For the most part, I'm kind of like Eric. I don't want to deal with anything about the financial stuff with the students.
Because
I'm above that. I'm
good luck,
the cheerleader for you know what we do at the school and who we are and how we're going to help your child.
You're the vision guy, yeah.
Right.
Well, so where would you start? I mean, if you were at 200 students
my
and you were... Yeah.
My question directly is, number one, website stuff, okay? I'm hearing about, you know, geo-tracking. Intellectually, I understand what you're talking about, but I don't know the mechanics of it. But I'm not even to that point yet. I need to start building some solid things. And I've listened to Eric a lot of times talking about, you know, how you build your web page, for example. It's the same way you design your mailers or letters or whatever the case may be. Follow the same principles. And that's what I'm... starting to put together right now. Well, I will be as soon as I finish the stuff. But
do you have a web guy?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a web guy?
I got a guy that works for me because I have Dudley Media and we do all kind of little projects and stuff like that. And he can build websites. He does all the... And he can do whatever I tell him.
Mm.
But he doesn't...
You need to know what's selling.
He's a mechanic.
Yeah, you need to know what's selling. Yeah, you need to be strategic. Yeah, which is what I think we all need to be. You know, and see, one of my big problems is I get into all the technical bullshit. You know what I mean? I like to know how it works and, like, the code. And Merrick and I sit and talk for, like, hours and figure stuff out together, and I kind of like that. But
The problem with that is he should be doing that. I should be, you know, worrying about other stuff, right? But
exactly.
I don't know what the easy solution is, but you know, what do you guys want to say about internet in, you know, 10
minutes?
The
easy solution is pick 5 or 6 websites that you really trust or on target. You know, mm-hmm. My High Karate's, mm-hmm.
yours,
some
yeah.
Of their model,
yeah.
Plenty of others. Go to Dan Kennedy's websites.
Yeah.
Just go to James White's website. I actually start redoing my website, kind of modeling yours.
Oh yeah,
I'm
getting ready to do
rewind. The school. And here you hadn't been here, but I'm now a convert, and we've got good numbers to prove it. But I'm now a convert of the Video Squeeze page.
That's why I'm going
to say. So
my
big thing is
like
that.
Right there, what Video Squeeze page. And I'm sitting here. I'm listening, trying to understand the context so I can figure out exactly what the heck you're talking about.
It's just simple. When somebody lands on the webpage, right, they type in Austin, what city? SanAntonioKarate.com. Right? I should just plug in.
Yeah, just show them the free karate. That's what I looked at last night.
Yeah. Let me talk to you first. When they type in SanAntonioKarate.com, they're going to land on a page.
Right.
Now, you've got some options of what the page they're going to land on looks like, right? You can make it look whatever you want. The big picture is you want the people who are prospects to only see the stuff that prospects should see.
Right.
The student should go completely somewhere else, either behind a password or a completely separate site or something like that.
So
it's a sales letter, right?
Right.
Now the old, I don't want to say old, but let's say up until a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, the staple that was the most effective was long-form sales letter with a hover ad that would offer them some sort of a bonus, right? A hover ad is a pop-up that can't be blocked, right? It's written into HTML code, so it can't be blocked by pop-up blockers, right? So the ad comes in and it says, you know, register here for a free report on, you name it, and you capture data. And then the long-form sales letter walks them through testimonials, benefits, just like a sales letter, like you were saying, right? With a very, you know, a huge offer at the bottom, right? Big promise, right? So that was like the old staple. What's converting now better than that? Since video is a much more stable media to stream, and it doesn't take as much technology, and it's cheaper, and most more people are on broadband, and you know that whole thing, is instead of landing on a text-laden big page like that, they're landing on a page that has a video of you or someone charismatic, relatively attractive, but who can deliver the message with passion, right?
Kind of like what y'all did for this event.
Yeah, exactly the same. Yeah. Exactly the same. So what they're landing on is something that's going to mine data from them. Right, so the video is making them some promise and some social contract, really, some contract that says, register here, and I want to show you this, 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 and this, and these things have to be compelling enough for them to give you data, right? So the new aha, which is two steps above what you're talking about, the big aha that we've had over the last, like I was talking about yesterday, was using the Video Squeeze page. We have a higher success rate now of mining for a phone number. Used to be when it was just text, the best we could do would be to get their email address without too high of a rate of clicking out, you know, of them actually converting. But now with the video, it seems like you're having more of that human interaction. That's my belief, is that it's just like a salesperson. You get belly to belly with them, and you can trust you. They look pleasant, and they look friendly, and they're persuasive, you know, that whole thing, right? So you're mining first name, last name, phone number, email. You know, at the worst, first name, last name, email. And then when they hit submit, they go to, you're capturing data, which puts them into a follow-up sequence. They get an email, you know, and then they go to the sales page. That gives them the big offer, the big promises, the benefits, and all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, I would go to Free Karate and check it out. We're still, to be honest, we're still tweaking it a lot.
I looked at that last night.
Yeah.
And it was cool.
It's not bad.
A thought that popped into my head, you know, and I run the business with my wife. She's... Mm-hmm. Well, now with the newborn at home, she's not there as much. But do you think it would be more of a draw and more beneficial for a mom who lands on that page to be spoken to by a woman?
Absolutely. Yeah, maybe. We tested three things. Me, Mr. Oliver, Mr. Smith. Mine now pulls the best. And mine is the crappiest looking. I've got this big bright spot on one side of my face and a big shadow on the other, right? But and I don't know why that is.
But
we didn't read the same script.
But you know what? But to me, that seems less of the formal professional.
Maybe.
Which makes it a little more comfortable
in
my opinion.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Well, yeah, and I don't know.
Women
respond
to commercials with a man versus a woman.
It's true. It's true. I don't know. And in real terms, on internet, see, the thing with internet is that it's infinitely testable for free. So you can build the two pages, A/B rotate them with Google, and it doesn't cost you any
right.
really
and then
anything.
The test that we were talking about yesterday.
Well, then you know. You, I had 100, you know, and 100 is probably too small of a sample, but 1,000 people visited the page. You know, 730 of them converted on this one. Well, actually, it would be half and half, so 500 on each one, right? So 200 of them converted on this one. Only 100 of them did on this one. This one wins. You know, now what's next? What do I test against this? You know, that sort of thing. And that's stuff that you don't really want to get bogged down in. You want to have a web developer who's going to listen to you and not charge you an arm and a leg to develop a page, right? But I mean, that's the new staple is video squeeze page landing page with big promise, friendly, compelling video. Maybe it's a parent. I don't know. Maybe. You know, we haven't tested that yet, but we will. You know, and then they opt in. They go to the main sales page, which is an offer and all that stuff. You know, and I'd be more than happy. I don't know if it's useful or not, but if you guys want, if it's valuable for everybody, we could schedule a call. And Elsa's going to be here this weekend, so I can connect you with her and we can figure out what to do. But you know, we might could do like a group call in a few weeks and just have everybody get on with their web guy. You know. And I can speak geek to them.
That's the key.
Is that useful?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you don't want to spend 4 years learning it. I mean, you know, you do need to keep them on track.
You know, the thing is,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm interested in this, like you. I mean, this stuff is intriguing.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I want to learn it, but I don't have time.
No, you don't.
See, I've got a leg up.
I'd be willing to do that. If that's useful for anybody, let's schedule to do it. You know.
Absolutely.
And I'd be more than happy to talk geek to, you know, whoever the hell they are. Of course, it's going to be like herding cats to get everybody to do it at the same time, but, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and Merrick,
so
our guy.
You have a way you can record it and we can get it out of the website?
That might be right. That might be the best way to do it.
Yeah, like a podcast.
That might be the best way to do it. Yeah, and I'd be happy to do it. So.
People have specific questions, we can email them all the time.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
absolutely.
The webinars are great because then you can show us, okay, here, go to Google, follow me along, blah, blah, blah.
View source,
the way you do
stuff,
it.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
But would you agree for him, he's looking to start an external market, obviously a great website, and then Google and Yahoo AdWords as a starting place?
I'd think so. I mean,
thank you. That's my next question.
Yeah, I'd think so. I mean, the reason the site probably should be step number one or two is because almost everything else you're going to do in print or in media is going to drive them back to the site, right? Because, you know, people shop now differently than they did 5 years ago. Mostly they don't pick up the phone and ask questions. Mostly they go find the website, right? Or they go, you know, whatever, Google it. But I think web would be number one or two. And if it's external only, now you just need to figure out how you're going to drive traffic to the website.
Maybe
it's direct mail, maybe it's internal referral. What is your internal, like, do you have like a lead database full of like leads or...
We did leads and stuff, and we entered, and we got Champions Way.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Yeah.
We entered.
So you can do a batch broadcast on that. Yeah.
Right. But a lot of that stuff, like I said, we're not using. Mm. I mean, most everything we do is hands on at this point in time. You know, I want to systemize a lot.
You can get your reasonably technical proficient student or somebody to help you do like a 10-step autoresponder, which is not hard to do. And I was able to talk somebody through that.
I set a webinar up myself.
Yeah. Well, Champions Way has an autoresponder built in it. So
right.
You can set up that autoresponder Champions Way.
You can get your calls, but then, you know, Toby's constantly hammering us while we don't follow up the race.
Absolutely.
But you don't have time for that, but your autoresponder.
Yeah. And it really does. It really does. I mean, it really does. It keeps touching those people, and it keeps, you know, it really does. You will get, which, by the way, was one thing for discussion that we probably won't get to. But what's his name? One of the new guys. Might be Howard Munding, but don't quote me on that. Sent me an email Wednesday or Thursday, saying, no, sorry, I can't make it. Tuesday. Sorry, I can't make it. But this just happened to me for the first time. What did I do wrong? And what he sent me was a reply from an email that he sent out an email blast to his warm list, right, lead list. And the headline was, it was actually pretty well done. The headline was, I'm not going to remember the numbers, but it was some statistical headline. It was, you know, 1,674 sexual assaults happened in, you know, the last 30 days in this area, whatever, something like that, right? And it was a pretty good copy and a pretty good offer. You know, I mean, it was a pretty well done piece. And some irritated, probably 40-year-old woman, you know, I don't know, I'm guessing, but hit reply and said, this is just a damn scare tactic. Don't ever send me another damn email again. Da-da-da. Send. Right? And he was like, well, you know, what did I do wrong? You know, this was just
thing, right? He's like, well, like next. And I said, hit delete and then move on, right? I mean, because, you know, look, in all honesty, and I'll take responsibility, but in all honesty, we've screwed stuff like that a lot. You know, I mean, we got databases that don't talk to each other right sometimes. We got all sorts of weird stuff that happens, right? I mean, weird stuff. But, you know, the whole deal is you're trying to build a relationship and you're trying to, like, you know, some people are going to be irritated. In any universe of human beings, right, there's going to be, you know, five assholes and there's going to be 15 people who are really super, you know, upset and irritable, and there's going to be, well, I mean, look, that's what it is. And if you start taking it personally, man, you're just, you know, willing yourself into a grave. So just don't even, just don't.
You know? Well, my question really was what Eric kind of said is it, you know, what's first step, what's second step, what's, you know.
Yeah. Well, any thoughts on that? Let's, you know, do a little round on that. What if you had 200 students?
Definitely the website.
Absolutely. The website with an autoresponder. Yeah, yeah.
No question about that, because that can be done with very little effort. You don't have to do it, and it's done. Yeah, it's up there.
Yeah, it's just testing it. Absolutely.
And then you start marketing by getting people to, you know, go to that. Put on your if you're not already doing it, on your voicemail or whatever, you know, you've reached us at such and such a time, you know, our hours are such and such. Be sure to visit us at www.kunjumasmusul.com. And, you know, to find out more information about something like that, but it's got to be everywhere so they can start seeing it.
Don't make your website come to us.
No, it's where his website is now. I just looked at it.
And it, no choice. I mean, that's the Federation website.
Right. But you should create a second website just for your school.
Keep in mind, you have the web guide designed, right, created for you, but then somebody's got to constantly update. And somebody's going to say to you, oh, it's really easy, you can just change, you know, you want to have a birthday party. You don't even want to learn that, in my opinion. You just want to have somebody on.
That's what Scott's for. He works for
wherever he is. You just give him the information. Please update the website. Right. And check it.
I mean, he actually works for me in the school. I mean, we've got the media room that's set up.
Some of these technical guys, you know, they can do it quickly, but to learn it all is just not, there's no sense.
Well, and I know how to do it, and I don't take the time. I just call my web guy. It takes him 5 minutes. It's changed. It's done. It's over with. It costs me about $50 to $100, depending on what it is, and we're done with it.
I will say, as far as your website stuff goes, if possible, to learn how to go in and to the, I think it's CSS or whatever, so you can update your upcoming events and stuff like that.
Right.
That takes 2 minutes to learn how to do it, and my website guy doesn't get it done. I make sure that's updated regularly because it's the students, they don't get pissed off at him, they get pissed off at me.
Right.
That's the only thing I work on in my website, is just up to taking text, highlighting it, and typing over it.
Yeah, I want to, you know, in listening to, I mean, of course, you're saying the old model or whatever, you know, but well, I've got several URL reserved, okay? But through Champion's Way, they have their generic things that they put together, and boom.
Yeah, the templated websites are not good because they're not coded for a search engine, even though they say they are, they're limiting. They're okay if that's a first stop, but you want a definite.
Well,
plus, they're not going to have the same capture capabilities as a site that you're going to design yourself. Right. We looked at templated sites.
I don't know what you're going to pay nowadays, but spend $2,000 to put up a good website. You know, the first one that signs up, you pay for that website.
Right. It costs me.
And you'll have so many more once you get it home.
We just did it, and it just cost me $800 for our website. So,
well, you know, the thing is, let me ask you this question then, because, you know, with Champion's Way, the one thing I wanted to do, well, what I had in mind to do was design the web page, fix it exactly like I want it, then send it to them, and let them.
They won't put it coming back for search engine.
Plus, they're going to charge you the same thing to alter the template than they would to build it. Actually, they may charge you more because there's more work involved.
That's what she does, and she might do it for.
She's probably expensive. I don't know.
But she knows what she's doing.
The thing with my deal is I wanted it, you know, through the Champions Way software, is that when they do it, boom, it goes directly into.
Yeah, but your web guy can do that. Your web guy can do that because my web guy set our capture form up to go into AWeber, and he designed the site and then just went to AWeber. I gave him my password to AWeber, and he went in and he figured out all the code.
That's
how mine's being designed. Is part of it goes to AWeber, plus it also goes to a database that collects right. information.
And mine goes to AWeber, and I get an email to my personal email, too. So not only do they go in the loop, but I can immediately call the contact
right then and there when I get my emails.
Does anybody here use Champions Me still?
Uh-uh. I looked into it a few years ago. But...
Oh, it's completely changed now. I mean, they got a lot of cool features. I mean, they got more stuff than I'm
even... Esper Oliver says good things about it. Yeah. I don't know if he's using them yet, but he's been talking about...
Well, their service does everything, from what I've heard. I mean, they have their own order responder, they have direct mail, and they do it all.
See, I don't know. Just do a few things really well.
From what guys have told me, you know, that I know that use them.
Get your order responders up. Spend any time you want to do an outpack or other things like outside things. You're basically driving them to your website.
Your website's going to do at least half of the question answering stuff for you. So they won't, like, call you and ask you this, some of the
right
mundane stuff that you don't need to answer.
Well, and a good example of that was yesterday. Those two calls I got, both of those people were on my website first. They both opted in, and then they called me. By the time they called me, there was nothing to answer. It was, I need to make an appointment to bring my kid in. You know, so the website did all the work for me.
The copy on your website has to be good copy. So you can do a good copy or you're not. So that you have to decide if you are great or not. Find somebody that you give them information about that writing and you can tweak it again.
Whatever it costs, it'll be pay itself back 1,000 times over.
In other words, your web guy is not going to be the one to write.
Oh, no.
You've got to sit down with the writer or do it yourself.
Actually, I'm writing all the stuff out. But yeah, I've been studying a lot of the stuff that you had given me. Different samples and stuff. I'm trying to, you know, look and follow. And I looked on my karate website and I'm looking at some of the, you know, making comparisons.
Do you have any of like Dan Kennedy's copy?
Oh, yeah, I've got his old package deal and I bought all that stuff too. But.
Real quick cleverness. Was you know those weird holidays?
Uh-huh.
There's also a site on Disney that has all of the Disney characters' birthdays.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
Snoopy, not Snoopy, but you know, Minnie Mouse's birthday and Mickey Mouse's birthday. And
question: there's a website yes, for sure.
I like that.
You're familiar? How familiar are you with Champions Way software?
Pretty familiar.
Good. Okay, you know we're talking about squeeze page autoresponder and AdWords and all this stuff. When with Champions Way. What my intentions were is to write up all the copy and do all the stuff, design the web page, how I wanted to look and all the stuff, and then send it to them so they could code it to where the responses would go directly into Champions Way software.
Yeah, they can do it. Yeah, they can do it.
Okay.
You can actually do it, but yeah, they can do it too.
Well, if I, you see, what the question or the statement came up with, it wouldn't be, what
would be optimized for optimization probably, but if you have somewhere to drive them from, like...
setting up AdWords, if you're setting up AdWords, it's not going to matter anyways because you're going to be there on the paper clip.
There's so, always around.
No, I think it still does matter.
What are we talking about here? Are we talking about the page itself or just the...
I don't know. I mean, Google AdWords is an optimization. It's what you're bidding.
It's better than being on AdWords, definitely. People look on the left before they look on the right, definitely.
Yeah,
you want to focus on that. Yeah,
if
definitely.
Somebody types in San Antonio Karate, you want your school to be the top one.
I have an unlimited budget on Google AdWords or something very, very high. The majority of my clicks are organic and not Google AdWords.
Yeah.
Even from
Google. It always will be. Unless you can't be found, and then all your clicks will be on AdWords, right?
And that's
you
what.
Email about the
yeah, I.
You don't want
curious. Well, we are reformatting everything, so you may have slipped off.
What?
May have gotten banned. So I don't know. That happens periodically. but you know, we're talking about two different things here. Well, there's two different ways you can do it with Champions Way. You've got the website itself, which right now you get to Champions Way as well, right?
Right.
So you've got the technology package.
I got everything.
Okay, so what you've got is the website itself that's hosted with Champions Way, which most of their sites are not as productive as we want them to be for, like, direct response, right? They're right. A good student site, but for the front page, not so much.
Right.
But you can have them fix that for you. I've done a couple of them that they'll just take all the buttons away and they'll do all that stuff for you.
Right.
You gotta pay them, but you know, that's option number one is to have them redesign it the way you want it. And then you can do any kind of search engine optimization you want. You can give them the keywords you want, give them the meta tags, all that stuff. You can give them all that stuff, and they'll do it, right? Saeed's the guy up there that does all that.
Right,
he'll do all that stuff. Yeah, he'll do all that stuff. And they're pretty good. I mean, they are pretty good. You know, don't get me wrong. They know what they're talking about most of the way. They don't get the vision part of it that we want to talk about, but they get the technical part. There's a second option, which is you can have a completely separate website, and you can use the code from their forms on the second website. So you can optimize a completely separate site however you want and use the Champions Way web form. The web form is where you just put the data and hit submit, right? You can just take that code and put it over onto the other website, and that web form will go wherever you want it to.
Right, which is what we're talking about. It'll go into your autoresponder on Champions Way.
Yeah. Getting data into Champions Way for the autoresponders isn't tough. The challenge is actually, once it's in there, having the sequences run right, but that's a whole other angle. But for what you want to do, it's fine. I'm serious. For what you want to do, it's fine. And we can get Saeed on the phone together, and it's not a big deal.
Okay. And honestly, until it gets done right, anything that's partially right collecting data is better than nothing. Yeah.
So basically, writing up all the copy and stuff like that is the first step, and then taking it.
You gotta have something up there.
Writing copy and deciding who you're gonna get to do the web or how you're gonna do that so that you're.
Well, actually, it's gonna be.
I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna do one with one of my younger instructors and one with my wife.
But, as far as what it looks like. When I design these, if you don't mind, I'm going to shoot it over to you and let you take a look at it.
Eric, what's your webpage?
Okay, cool. I'll let you
know.
All
right.
See you soon.
Mark Finke will be here in an hour.
I just talked to Mark the other day.
Is that a warning?
Or run.
He wants to go out for lunch.
All right.
Do you guys all have cards on you with your emails, since I don't have anybody's emails? Thanks, Eric. I'm going to do the same thing on mine because I've got the school email on here. Charles. Scary, ain't it?
President George Bush, a Business Advisory Council, awarded by President Bush. Awards.
That's got to be the worst.
10 foreign countries, 10 medals, doctorates awarded, 10 international instructors award, 10 theory, Taekwondo, Hapkido, swordsmanship, martial arts, kung fu,
are you seeing
Qigong,
this?
Kumba, kickboxing.
That's a business card, man.
Like President, it. World.
No, no.
And this is just
you gotta look at it.
That's only like up there what I read.
Oh,
so I show it there.
I see that, like John says, like, be like a testimonial.
What is it?
That'd be cool.
That'd be perfect.
That'd be cool.
Great, yeah.
So that's like the classic example of what not to do.
I don't know. I mean, that guy, like, he's like a self-promoter guy. The
illusionist fighting?
Yeah, he's actually an actor. You can see he's in the old 70s movies and stuff.
For World of Warcraft, you can find the wizards.
Yeah,
I haven't figured out how to do it yet. I haven't put much thought into it, but my brother-in-law is an attorney. And he's pretty good, he's pretty good at customer acquisition. And his business card, on the back of his business card, it says, basically what it is you give this business card to the cop if you ever get pulled over, right? And on the back of the business card, it makes a statement, so it says, you know, if I'm not under arrest, I refuse to answer any questions. No, you do not have the right to search my present, you know, da-da-da-da, all this stuff. It states your legal rights. But see, the whole reason I think it's kind of clever is because you're going to keep that in your damn wallet, right? You're going to keep that business card handy, you know? And I haven't figured out exactly, you know, how we can use that, but it's
you're
a really clever idea.
This card out of your
wallet. Yeah, exactly.
You may have anything you want from my wallet.
Yeah. Do not resist, you know.
Well, you got to send me one of those. That's
Charles,
cool.
How we do? How we do? Was that?
Yeah.
Are we close?
Yeah.
So there's two different ways to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Joe, you got a card?
But you can
just
Champions
I
Way
grab cards from everybody.
You can treat Champions Way one of a bunch of different ways, but basically it's a database, right? Now, what Champions Way did, unfortunately, are you using that new G4 thing that they have, or are you using the Champions Way, the Mass thing?
Mass right now.
Okay, the Perfect Mind, I mean. So you're using Mass.
Yeah, Perfect Mind.
Perfect Mind's like open, yeah. That's which is really flaky right now still. But, basically you can use like a database and get data
on the back
into
business
it. There's a couple of ways you can do it.
Good.
Is anybody else using Champions Way or no?
Me.
You are? Okay. Here's how we use Infusion. It's the same way, right? And you can do this with Champions Way as well. Basically, it's a database. So getting data into the database uses a web form. One way is a web form. And they can build you a web form that has whatever fields you choose, right? So you can have first name, last name, email, phone number, first name, last name, email, what benefit are you interested in, first name, last name, whatever you want, right? You can customize the web form however you want to. So when they go to the landing page, that's what you're going to squeeze them for. You're going to squeeze them for that data, right? But the second part of that, which is clever, which we're using for franchisees, is we build a custom student data gathering form for all the schools to use. So when the phone rings, the screen pops up that has the web form of the phone script with the blanks to fill in. So the program director is filling in the things live, or they, you know, a lot of take notes and then transcribe it later. But they're filling it in live, and based on what menus they've dropped down, it gives them the next part of the script. Right? So now they're data entering all the phone calls as well. So when they hit submit, when they hang up the phone and hit submit, they set their appointment right there. They click the time and the date of their appointment. They click submit. It all goes into the database in one step without having to do it later. And it also automatically queues off follow-up emails and voice broadcasts and stuff like that to remind them of their appointment and all that other stuff, right? You can do that with Champions Way too. It's just you have to, you know, pay them to build the web form the way you want it. You know what I mean? Which, I don't know, like trust $70 or something like that. I can't remember. It's been a long time since I used it for my own school. But it's really simple. It's a database. It's just how you put data in is you can customize all that. You know what I mean? But so step number one was the website. What was next? What did everybody have?
The website.
How you drive them there, yeah.
You know, AdWords and so forth.
Yeah. And AdWords, that's later.
And I'll be honest with you. Craigslist, for us, has become an invaluable free tool.
Facebook.
I got two students in the last 3 months from people that have looked at stuff on Craigslist. If we do, like Jonathan, all of the free classes that Jonathan does on the weekends, we do the same thing, but we only do it once a month. And we'll go out to Craigslist, and we'll go under events and classes, and there's something else. And we'll put a post up, you know, free bully prevention class or, you know, whatever it may be that we're doing that weekend with, you know, everything we put our website address on, because it optimizes your website, the bigger sites you're on with your web address. So, you know, it becomes a link. So it pushes our web address up that list. And then, you know, we also have the school phone number, call, reserve your space now. And we'll put a new ad on Craigslist every single week of that month up until we are ready to do the next event, and then as soon as that event's over, we start immediately again for the next event.
Backlot, you said?
Craigslist and Backpage.com.
Backpage.
Backpage is the other one. Backpage isn't as big right now. People are just starting to find out about it. But Craigslist is huge.
I mean, Facebook is good, too. I mean, you know, the challenge with, like, Facebook is it's really easy to confuse activity with accomplishment.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Right now, Master Oliver has, like, 1,100 friends. When I got him banned, I got him banned off Facebook. This will be like the ninth time. Last time, I was up to 4,200. But now we're back up to like 1,000, and I'm doing it like all organically. I'm not doing it with bots or anything anymore.
So when they ban you, all the friends are gone too?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Although there's an application for iPhone called FriendSync, and you can sync all your friends from Facebook to your iPhone. So I had them synced first. So then when they banned him, I still had the 4,000 contacts and about 1,000 phone numbers.
Didn't they just ban him like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Because I got dropped off and then he added me again?
frankly, it's been about every third week for 6 months, and I think I'm figuring it out though. I mean, this time
because of Nat, he's promoting Nat on it or what?
All sorts of stuff. No, the reason we're getting banned is because I'm using a little bot that I programmed to go out and do friends automatically. You know, so I'm doing like 500 friends a day, or 300 friends a day, or 200 friends a day, and I've got it down to 40 a day. If I do 40 a day, I don't get the warning messages anymore. And you have to ignore four warning not that anybody cares, but what I'm going to do is, this is a research project, and when I have it figured out, I'll come to the table and I'll tell you what I know about Facebook. Right? But what I know right now at this point is, don't use the bot. 40 a day is a good number.
The problem with that
but
is,
it's too easy to confuse activity with accomplishment.
The problem with it is, by the time you're done with that, Twitter's already on the way taking Facebook over.
Well, see, now here's the problem. You don't get me started. don't get me started. We'll talk about social networking another time, but there's all these social networks out there that are free that all that you can all link together with special programs, and right now I can post on about 110 different social networks with one click, so I have one post, I write it once, do it, done, and it automatically goes out to all the other ones, syndicates it out, right? Because there ain't no way I'm gonna log into 10 things and go 100 things and go upload 100, it's not gonna happen, right? So I hired a developer to develop a program to do it all for us. But that's a whole other animal. But the problem with Facebook, again, is that you can click on for 4 hours and look at the clock and go, didn't generate any students in 4 hours. What the hell have I been doing for 4 hours?
You
know what
I mean? You could get lost on Facebook forever.
Days. Yeah. Okay, so refocus.
When you post something once a month, do you have to repost or it just stays up for the month?
It'll stay up, but the reason we repost every week is because the newer messages all go to the top.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that have to be a new message?
Yeah, I just post a new message. I post a brand new message. Yeah, because if it's you got to change the title a little bit, and you got to change the message a little bit, because if you don't, it says you've already posted a message like this.
Yeah.
You know, and it gives you, I think it's what, events, it's 3 weeks, I think it is. You know, within a three-week time frame, you can't put the same post up. You can put the same event up, just in a different type of a post, but you can't put the same post up.
The easiest way to do that is just delete the old one, put a new one.
Yeah.
You can do it as many times as you want, but you're right. It doesn't want you to have the same title and the same keyword, the same message. But we hired a couple sales guys on Craigslist, and I posted every couple days. So you just delete the old one, copy paste it, put up again.
See, the only reason I didn't
I got banned a couple times on that too.
The only reason I didn't do that is because I like having three or four ads for the same thing.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not a bad thing. But you know, again, it's like Google. People are only going to scroll like a couple times.
Yeah. Craigslist is cool. It's
free. Yeah.
I've gotten a bunch of hits.
Depending on the city you're in.
Yeah, which free where we are. So I mean,
for some categories,
I don't think Manhattan is, but where we are, it is.
Depending on what you want to post, if you want like a job posting or something, depending on what the category is, some of them.
But classes and events are free. I mean, it's which is, free way to get yourself out there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's worth putting a student on doing it every week. And every Monday they log in and upload.
What was the other one? There was another one that we were doing too, and I don't remember what it is.
There are a bunch. There are a bunch of them. Okay, so we build a new website.
Oh.
Now how do we start driving traffic there?
Back to just quickly for optimization, a trick Jason Silverman taught me. Once a week, I go out to Amazon, and you can log in to become a book reviewer for, martial arts business books, whatever. And, I don't know if you guys know, but, Amazon is like the site to get linked to for optimization for your website. I mean, if you can get something from Amazon on your website, forget it. It pushes you all the way up to the top. So what we started doing was like once a week I'll go out now. We started this last week, 2 weeks ago, and I'll review a book. And the first thing that we put into the book review is the webpage address. And then like once you've reviewed, I think it was like 10 or 12 books, you become an official book reviewer, and you start getting pushed up that list on on your website. It optimizes your website. So that's something that we're doing now too.
Yeah.
How do you fit your website into your review?
You just put it immediately at the beginning. When I start to write my review, it's www.justforkicks.biz or fishgokarate.com, whichever one we're using. We've switched over to fishgokarate.com at this point. And
I should put the http://.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
http://. That's good to know.
When you're gonna backlink through somebody else's server, you wanna put the http://. Some of the spider bots get confused.
And then, so we put that at the very beginning, and then, just write.
In lieu of www?
It's before.
No,
www.
You need that, too.
It's before.
HTTP is like if you look at a web page, it's the very first thing you'll see before the web address.
HTTP
colon/forward/.
Just look at any web page and you'll see it. That's what's there.
Oh, that's Lewis.
Hello. Rob Tucker?
He was out there.
Well, but, McGee called about half an hour.
What?
Mark McGee.
Oh, is he? Okay. He's not going to make
but
it.
But yeah, that.
Terry's on the way too.
They don't care. It doesn't matter. Because you're reviewing a book. So if you know, I mean, you got to understand, you still got to put a couple sentences in there about the book and you got to know what the hell you're talking about. But for them, by you writing a review, it's helping them sell a book. So they don't care. You know, and honestly, putting the webpage shows to them at least that, you know what you're talking about because you own a business in that sector, per se. You know, I mean, that's the way we've looked at it.
So you can just review martial arts books.
Yeah, and, well, I've done that. And yeah, some of any of the business books I've read, I've reviewed.
Relevant keywords, you know. Makes sense.
Yeah. Right, right. So, I mean, we did one business book already, and I did one martial arts book, so.
Okay, so how else do I drive traffic to web page? So obviously, free online social networking is one avenue, and there's a million of them to choose from. But you know, the caution is, put some 17-year-old kid who knows how to use Facebook on the deal instead of you doing it, right? because you can get lost there for 8 days and never accomplish a damn thing, right?
Run into people you went to school with, and then it's over with.
Yeah, forget it. Old girlfriends or something, you got no chance, right?
I had that happen. What else? I got one training at my school with her daughter, with her son.
But what else is the...
No, thank God. First question out of my mouth, she came into school, is how old is he?
So we've got... And I mean, obviously by email, you know, you'd want to do a big website launch. You know what I mean? Take like 7 days before you're going to launch the website, send an email to all the prospect lists, hey, we have a brand new website that's going to be launching on Friday. You know, look out for it, da-da-da, that whole thing, and then just, you know, every other day send them an email about the launch and get a bunch of traffic there right away. You can voice broadcast them through Champions Way, too. Yeah, it's not bad. 30 cents or something like that. How else are we going to drive traffic to the site? Obviously, everything you do now has the website on it and a reason to go to the website, right?
Well, and then...
So you got to have a really good bribe when they get to the website. Two really good bribes. Bribe number one is... Okay. Strategy is you want two chunks of data. Two pieces... Maybe three, but two big pieces of data are important to you, right? Number one is name, email, phone number. So you can have the sales guys call them, right? The programmer call them. Chunk of data number two, when somebody gets to the sales page, they have basically like three options. Option number one is they go away. Option number two is they buy. They register for a trial or whatever. Option number three is something else. So for those people who aren't irritated to click away, but who aren't sold, what else is there for them, right? So you should have some sort of an alternate offer on that page that hovers in or something like that. That's another bribe of value. That gives you an excuse to ask them for their full mailing address as well. I'll send you a free CD, free package, free this, free that, right? Our thing is we send them that Be Your Best CD, right? And the excuse is we need your mailing address so we can send you the disc, right? So now even if they don't register for their appointment, you still have their mailing information in many cases that you can now put them in direct mail follow-up sequences too, right? So what you'll see almost mathematically is you'll have, let's say, the people who land on your squeeze page, you'll have maybe, if it really sucks, you'll have a really low percentage. If it's really good, you'll have a higher percentage. But you might have maybe 30% of the people who land there will give you their data, click through, and go to the next page, right? Then of that 30% of the people who go to the page, you may have only a half a percent that actually request a free lesson or free whatever, right? But you'll have a higher percentage of that request a free widget. And the more attractive the free widget is, the better it is, right? The bigger and bolder you make that offer, the more people you'll have, you know, opt into the thing, right? That's sort of like that shock and awe marketing system. That Eric, you know, the package that Eric has, that would be a great, you know, requested the thing deal. And now, at the same time, by the way, we talked about this yesterday. At the same time, while you're collecting that address, the psychology is, you know, give you a little data, I'll give you more data if I trust you a little bit more, right? You might as well ask them what they're interested in. So then you can target exactly what you're going to send them. You know what I mean? So like I was talking about on Monday, when you look back at that chart, depending on what benefit they pick, that's the mail package that they get. Or that's the emails that they get or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's lost. Give me 10 seconds. What else do we do immediately to drive traffic to the website? Other than direct mail to the cold list. I mean, that's an easy one, right? Hey,
Mark. Well, any of you guys doing, like, monthly newsletters to your prospects? Like, the same newsletter that goes from...
I've been on and off with that. I had an intention of starting that again in January.
I do an email.
Yeah. That goes to your prospects and your... Because I just started in December, starting doing a monthly newsletter, and I'm sending it out to the prospects, and, you know, having some type of value thing on the back that's just, you know, generally this is what would be good for your kids, not really specifically selling the martial arts department, and I flip it open, and then it's geared towards more of my student base. But then that same deal, using web address on that, and pretty much every mail piece that goes out.
For them to get there.
And a big bribe.
Before you've done, so I can, like...
Yeah.
Which part?
The newsletter.
Yeah. In fact, I meet with Ron tonight. What'd they say? I meet with him Saturday night. And I've got one more technical obstacle to get overcome, and I think we're going to be ready to go probably in a couple of weeks. Give me a month, right? But I mean, it's pretty cool. The application is really cool because it's pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about it.
What is this?
Because you can do it two different ways, right? I don't want to get off track, but you can do it two different ways. You can say, okay, here's all of my offers for next year, or you can do it like month by month, and you can just, I want this offer in January, this offer in February, this offer in March, this offer, you know, and it'll automatically merge all that stuff for you. It's pretty cool.
What is it?
Yeah, I told him, he's more than welcome to come in and have a seat for a little while. Sure.
Yeah, I'm sick of doing mine.
Just have him grab a chair. Well, it's for leads.
Wow. Yeah.
It's for leads. It's for leads, not for, yeah. Anyway, okay, so you were driving traffic. How else were we going to drive traffic to the site?
You know what, if you have a good URL, like,
you need
give it respect. You put out, you get the really cheap small snipe signs, and you're supposed to run around town with nothing else.
Yeah.
It's actually, you know.
Blind Legion. Yeah. His thing would be a real good book for Blind Legion, like that. PE for homeschoolers, you know, find out where they live. And
well, the other thing we did too is I went out and bought, at least where we are, like I said, you know, I've got a bunch of cities around me. I bought every single URL for every city with the city name karate, the city name martial arts. I bought every one of them.
That we
could get our hands on.
Butterfly effect. You web them together. That's good.
Yeah, and then they all just forward to our main page.
Hey, Pat.
Hello.
Hey, Pat.
Hey, guys.
We're crashing.
You guys know Pat.
Here.
We're running a little long. Terry's on his way, so we thought we'd invite Pat in to say hi.
Good.
Yeah. They weren't supposed to be out there.
What's up?
They're supposed to be gone.
Well, I don't want to get frightened.
I can see Toby.
A little irritated about that. What else? How else are we going to drive traffic to the site? I mean, obviously, it becomes everything, every piece of print material you have ever, like, has it and why to go there. And you know, that's the big mistake, by the way, you know, really, like, right now that everybody kind of makes still, is they put their URL on everything, which is, like, one step, but, you know, no excuse to have to go visit it. You know what I mean? Why should I go there? You know, give me a reason to visit the site. You know, give me a good reason. You know, having it done on the business cards, you know, important. But you know, it's even better if I have something compelling to give them when I get there. You know, how else are we going to drive traffic there? From offline, let's say. I mean, obviously, anything in the newspaper, you know, all that stuff. Right? Okay.
Put online coupons, which is just another way of saying a reason for them to go to the website. Mm-hmm. All the things that you've told us.
Yeah. Print it up with your print T-shirts up with it on there.
Balloons, frisbees, yeah.
For your kids, you go to Vistaprint and get the free, cheap, you know, free business cards. For like $3 as an add-on, you can get a T-shirt with their business card like this on the T-shirt. My kids have been like,
did you guys see
trying to stab each other to get those T-shirts.
This is totally a tangent before we take a quick break before Terry gets here. But did you guys see the Senate testimony yesterday from the pink from
yes, I did.
Was that hysterical or what?
That was pretty
funny. There were a group of protesters on the floor, and sitting in the chairs.
Caption and headline on the newspaper this morning.
They were holding up little signs. They're the Pink Brigade or the Pink Party or something like that. Whatever. And they were holding up signs, and the Democratic leader of the committee said, you know, you need to put those signs away, and she just kept holding. They kept holding them up, and he said, "You need to put the signs away now." And they kept holding them up, and he said, "Okay, I'm going to ask security to do one of two things. You'll either surrender the signs, or you'll be escorted out of the chamber. Which will it be?" And she said, well, we'll surrender the signs. And the security guy came in and he said, security guy, go get the signs. He went and got the signs. And then the Republican minority ranking member of the committee said, well, Mr. Chairman, I'm so glad that that blurb wasn't written on their T-shirts.
And they took the shirt
because they're all ladies, you know what I mean? Very funny. Let's take 10.
Yeah,
let's take 10 and we'll be back with Terry.
I bet they do next time.
So funny, right? Why wouldn't you? This is Terry.
Because you wear a sweatshirt over it, and then you get in and you take the sweatshirt off.
Okay, let's take 10.
So you see that?
Just in time for a break.
Same time?
Good timing.
And we'll open both doors so we can get some air in here.
Yeah, it got hot in here fast.
It does. Oh, good, they're gone. We can keep them open. Yeah, let's just swing it.
Is that enough for you, Charles?
Oh, yeah.
Now you know how I felt when we did our webpage. We had to do all the same stuff.
Hey, Ben, sir.
All right, how are you?
You never seen that one before?
That's good. I like that.
I remember that one now that you mention it. Oh, boy.
Oh, that's pretty good.
There's some other one that combined that to something about, you know, we hit dick and no more Bush.
Them two guys got abused terribly when they were in office. Oh, I missed that. Oh, yeah, his final night is George Bush. He always did Bush well. I like him, and I like the guy that does John Madden. You know who I'm talking about, Caliendo, Frank Caliendo. That guy's funnier than all hell. The stuff he does on John Madden is great.
Brilliant. How was the flight? Good.
Smooth and quick.
Yeah, I got that. See, all of our guys are going to have to rush that time. In fact, I'm with you.
You get a bottle one or two. Oh, yeah.
Great.
I like it.
Holly, good
problem.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, I like that. I might have to give me one of those.
One of the Congress ones?
Yeah. Hollycomb.
Yeah.
Where's the book recommendation thing that he's talking about on the Amazon?
That was sound station to whatever. Where's the? I gotta find out about this. It's power to it, but it's not hooked up to a phone line.
Something and then it has 70 add-ons and like this very small thing to proceed to check out without buying all this crap. Yeah, that's exactly
that where you're at.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
like a
Preston.
Oh yeah, yeah. I got about 7 or 8 last month. It's addictive once you get started. Hey, Mr. Brian.
This is where all the big dogs are at, huh?
Heard you were on your way.
Yeah, I was trying to call
for a while.
At the most inopportune moments. How you doing? What are you guys doing? Plotting to take over the world in here, in this room?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the war room, baby.
Cool.
Start with countries that have short people in it. It's easier.
How's your school doing?
Good. Very good.
No drop enrollment at all with all the recession, or are you going up?
Up, up, up. Up.
Good. Flat plateaued. So keep the same number of students, raise your rates. It still works.
Yeah, that's kind of what happens. My enrollment's actually down about 10% from last year, but my gross is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Should they know I'm here?
Excellent. Hello. Right.
How are you?
Well, what you got? Surprised that wasn't me.
You too. That's a good slam sign right there.
Finally warmed up about averaging about mid to upper 40s. So,
that's where you're at,
Wisconsin.
Oh,